वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चाक्षुरन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा गदामय्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरुं श्रीयुतापदं श्रीवैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणे प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादे पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनामिने गौरत्विषे नमः नमो ब्राह्मण्यदेवाय गोब्राह्मण इताय च द्विताय कृष्णाय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कान्ता राधाकान्ता नमोऽस्तु ते तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानोऽस्तु ते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यस्य कृपा सिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 रामो राम रामो हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण हरे हरे कृष्ण थैंक यू फॉर इनवाइटिंग मी दो आई एम यूजलेस समहाउ यू हैव सीन समथिंग इन मी एंड यू कॉल्ड मी ऑल द वे हियर सो दिस इज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 सो चैप्टर 16 टू चैप्टर 26 काइंड ऑफ एक्चुअली वी आर गोइंग टू डिस्कस एन ओवरव्यू ओनली वी आर नॉट गोइंग टू यस प्रभु वॉल्यूम So, these are the slides which I prepared for last year with IPT classes. Later on when I went back, I updated them for 3-day presentation in Chaupati. So later on I keep on updating. They are keep on updating. So last week I presented the same presentation to our Bhakti Vaibhav classes in Sunday. Every Sunday we have congregation devotees Bhakti Vaibhav. So yesterday only it got completed. In the sense, I completed it. It is not completed, but somehow rushed up and completed it. So today we are repeating same thing. So I am not a preacher. I am not a regular teacher. Kindly bear with me. So I don't know how to present properly. I very hardly come in front of devotees. Like all of you are wonderful preachers and all established preachers did wonderful tasks at your respective places. So kindly accept me with all my limitations, whatever it is. So if something goes wrong in between, kindly forgive me with your kind heart. So this is Vedic Cosmos, the mystery of the workings of the universe. This is the title we gave for 3-day presentation. So we are still continuing. Okay, Bhagavad Cosmology, Vedic Perspective on Modern Astronomy. This is the title I coined it. So we have total 4 presentations in our course. So this is not working? Okay, one. No problem. Then I will sit like this. So I'll keep referring that also sometimes. So the first part is describing about description of Bhumandala. This is the explanation from chapter 16 to chapter 20. These 4 or 5 chapters describes Bhumandala in detail. And the second part describes about References from Bhugola Varnanam. There is a book written by Srila Vajraja Tirtha. He is a grand disciple in the discipline section of Madhvacharya. He actually wrote a book especially on this topic based on Srimad Bhagavatam, Vayu Purana and other Puranas. So that also we'll just glance upon. The third part will be the vertical structure of the universe, the 14 planetary system. That is from chapter 21 to 26. And the last, the fourth presentation talks about the planetary movement, movement of the planets. Yes, Prabhu. What happened? No problem. You will start again. So the fourth presentation will be about the movements of the planetary system. So these are the four presentations. Yes, guys, Gauranga Darshan Prabhu gave me 3 days. Today, tomorrow and day of tomorrow. 3 days we have to cover. I don't know. So, we'll try to complete. So, all of us know that last year we have celebrated ISKCON 50th anniversary. The 50th anniversary of ISKCON incorporation. So, slide, you see. Actually, Prabhupada wanted this temple of Vedic Planetarium should come up with all the descriptions of 5th canto. So to fulfill that desire, many of the followers of Srila Prabhupada are working hard. Initially Sadaput Prabhu, he said Sadaput Prabhu, then later on Nidolne Dhanavirasa Maharaj. Now the TVOP team, they are working on to fulfill this desire of Srila Prabhupada. So taking inspiration from that, during our Vidyapit time, we did some project on this. So keeping that, we are trying to maintain ourselves. Something like that. So this is basically dedicated to His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of International Society for Krishna Consciousness, on the occasion of 50th anniversary of the incorporation of ISKCON. Whole world celebrated last year at the 50th anniversary. So we are celebrating based on moon calendar, lunar calendar. So our calendar starts on Gudi Padava, that is in the month of March. It goes all the way up to March. So ISKCON started in the month of June, July. So it comes in that period. So there is nothing wrong here. So 50 years back during 66, Prabhupada started ISKCON. Now we are in 2016-17. So it is 50th year is going. This is the lunar year during that time, Parabhava Samvatsara. Durmukhi is that currently the year is going on. So you are able to see this arrow? No, no. If arrow required, what will do? Pointer. If required. So no problem. So we are in Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 5. All of you have studied second canto. Atra sarga visargastha sthanam poshanam eva manvantaresha kata nirodho mukti rashraya. So like that Bhagavatam gradually describes all the 10 topics. Starting with third canto. Third canto discussed sarga. And part of third canto also discussed visarga. Chapter 10, chapter 12, chapter 20. And canto 4 all the way up to canto 5, 15th chapter. It discussed about visarga. And remaining chapter 16 to 26 supposed to talk about sthanam. But chapter 1 also discusses something about sthana. That's why chapter 1 onwards, it is included in 5th canto. That is whole canto is called sthanam. So the definition of sthanam is sthitir vaikunta vijaya. This is in the 2nd canto, 10th chapter, this definition comes. So this shows the protection of the Lord. Sthitir vaikunta vijaya. The vijaya, the victory of the Supreme Lord is providing suitable places for suitable people. The universe is filled with varieties of living entities. So we have seen through the whole third canto, Brahmaji created different kinds of living entities. So they need to stay. For that they need to have a place. So the suitable people should have suitable places. So Lord has created that suitable places for all of them with all nice surroundings. So just like in a big government company like DRDO or even IIT campus also, there are different cadres of people are there like lecture, professors, assistant professors and higher hierarchy, chair, vice chancellor, director, all these people. So everyone has got their accommodation, but their accommodations are not same. They are different. The topmost person has a big bungalow with all the car, all the facilities, all the employees under him to serve. But other people have maybe simple apartments, and students have hostels, and married students have their small two-rooms apartment, something like that. So different people have different places for them, so that they can perform their tasks. The same way in the universe, there are demigods, there are Gandharvas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Kinnaras, Kimpurushas, human beings, animals. So they all need suitable places. So Lord has provided that places according to their deserving capability. So that is Lord's victory. And this actually describes about Lord's maintenance aspect. So Canto 3 and Canto 4, whatever Sarga and Visarga talks about creation aspect of the Lord. So from canto 5 onwards all the way up to canto 9, it talks about maintenance aspect. Different themes are explained in all those cantos. They're basically how to maintain this entire universe. And 12 and 11 talks about Nirodha. Nirodha and Mukti, that is destruction. Creation, maintenance and destruction. So here the maintenance is beginning. So by destroying the suffering of living in it is, Lord provides them suitable places. Basically we say that Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. But though in that Dukkhalayam also, there are some convenient facilities. That is Lord's mercy. So this canto talks about the condition of the jivas. The conditions in which different living entities are living. That is explained in this canto. So Srimad Bhagavatam canto 5. Sukadeva Goswami briefly gives an outline of the geography. He does not give in detailed geography. Because that is not his intention. His intention is to inspire Parikshit Maharaj to meditate upon the Supreme Lord at the time of leaving the body. So for that he is speaking Lord's pastimes. So, and also it talks about the maintenance of the inhabitants living in those places. That is the maintenance aspect of the Supreme Lord. The spiritual significance and purpose. So Sukadeva Goswami at the beginning only says that, my dear king, there is no limit to the expansion of the Supreme Lord's material energy. This material world is a manifestation of the material qualities, that mode of goodness, mode of passion and mode of ignorance. We see during the creation, when Lord Karandaksha glances on Pradhana, in which modes are inactive, all the modes agitate and they transform into entire this universe. So that is nothing but made up of three modes, whatever we see. Yet no one could possibly explain it perfectly, even in a lifetime as long as that of Brahma. But nevertheless, I will speak to you the principal things, the principal dimensions, measurements and characteristics, all these details I briefly describe. That's what Sukadeva Goswami states in the beginning of 16th chapter, and he continues. So the purpose in Sukadeva Goswami describing this geographical locations of the universe is just to show us their primary engagement. You have read through chapters 17, 18, 19 and also some part of 20. You see, most of that place chapters are covered with prayers only. So basically there are people are living at different places, but their primary engagement is worship of the Supreme Lord. So by hearing, seeing how they are worshiping the Supreme Lord, we also get inspiration to practice our devotional service with more sincerity. It is an overview only of different locations of the universe. It is not a detailed information. If somebody interested into this area and want to know more details about all these places, kindly refer Vayu Purana. So you will get more and more details. So Vayu Purana is spoken by Lord Vayu, Vayudev. He could travel anywhere, wherever he want. So he personally witnessed what is there everywhere, and he personally spoke. It is compiled by Vyasdev. So whoever is interested, please refer to Vayu Purana. So intention is to increase our appreciation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's wonderful activities. When we go out and speak to new people, they say that God is great. So if you want to know how God is great, so we have to see this kind of activities, creation pastimes and pastimes of fifth canto. When we see them, we understand how insignificant we are, how God is, how big and how insignificant we are, and how meticulous he is in his creation, how systematic his creation is. So when we know all these things, we develop more appreciation towards Supreme Lord. So Bhagavad Gita 4th chapter, Lord Krishna says, Janma karma cha medivyam evam yoveti tatvata taktva deha punar janma naiti mameti suvarjuna. So to attain that goal, we should understand Lord's wonderful activities and appearance. So this is one of such wonderful activities. So knowing this is for our benefit only. Knowing this helps us to attain the Supreme Lord. So people may say that, why do we need to read all this complicated subject matter? Let us go directly to 6th canto, Ajamil pastimes. But Prabhupada states in the very beginning is that, so whatever connected to Supreme Lord, nothing is material. They are all spiritual only. So reading the subject matter is also transcendental, because it is in relationship with the Supreme Lord. So let us endeavor to read and understand. So that's how Prabhupada requests all the readers. So first part we are going to discuss today. So that is description of the Bhumandala. So we'll be covering, these are the few chapters. So from chapter 1, Priyavrata divided Bhumandala into 7 dvipas and 7 oceans. chapter 1 to 15, the descendants of Prihvrata Maharaj, that in record we are not covering. 16 to 19, it talks about Jambudvipa with its mountains and trees. Basically, all the geography, it talks about mainly mountains and rivers. Because these are essential aspects of our livelihood. So, in that reason. So, even Govardhan pastime, Lord Krishna says that why we have to worship Indra. Our water is coming from Govardhan. Our grass for the cows is coming from Govardhan. We are getting milk from the cows. And everything is coming from Govardhan only. Let us worship Govardhan. Why to worship Indra? Something like that. So now, in last chapter, 20th chapter, it describes about the other six islands. So where Priyavrata divided one Bhumandal into seven dvipas. So first dvipa, the innermost dvipa is Jambudvipa. That is explained in chapter 16 to 19, about four chapters. And the last chapter talks about the remaining parts of the Jambudvipa, remaining six islands and whatever additional things. So these are the brief outline of today's discussion. So now, description of the Bhumandala. So this is one analogy with which we can correlate how does the universe look like. Here we see there is a lake with a lot of lotus flowers along with the petals and lotus leaves. So if we consider this is one Brahmanda, the outer line is, my arrow is moving here, but nothing is moving there. So that circle is the universal shell. So lower half is filled with water, that is Garbhodaka ocean. So just above the water, there is a big lotus leaf. Okay? Can I get some pointer? It will be nice. Okay. So then there is a lotus stem. On top of the lotus stem, there is a lotus flower. So this is how Bhagavatam explains how the universe is situated. This is explained in 3rd canto 10th chapter. So 3rd canto 10th chapter. So Brahmaji comes up and after the prayers, everything is over. He appeared on top of the lotus. Then he divided the lotus into 14, first three divisions, then 14 divisions. That's how he made this into 14 planetary system. So the bottommost part, that is leaf, the big leaf you see, which is spread all over in horizontally, that is called Bhumandala. Just above the Garbhodaka ocean, there is Bhumandala, which is spread all over the universe. And the vertical stem and the lotus flower, that is, we can correspond it to 14 planetary system. Of course, Bhumandala is also part of 14 planetary system, but in the vertical alignment, if you see, that is 14 planetary system. And the lotus flower on top, there is Satyaloka, below that Tapaloka, Janaloka, Maharaloka, below that Swargaloka, and below that Bhuvarloka, and below that Bhumandala. Bhumandala is Bhuvarloka, that is the leaf. So within the leaf, there are seven lower planets, Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Tala, Tala, Rasatala, Mahatala, Patala. So this is how the universe is distinguished with different characteristics. So this is one analogy with which we can just remember. Yeah, Bhuloka is the people where human beings live. The Martya Loka we say. Bhuvarloka is the Bhagavatam 3rd canto 10th chapter describes that Brahma's 10th creation is creation of 10 kinds of demigods. 8 kinds of demigods. The actual demigods who are the sons of Aditi and all the great people, they all live in Amaravati, actual Swargaloka. The other lesser demigods like Kinnaras, Kimpurushas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Danavas, Daityas. So most of them live in Bhuvarloka. Bhuta, Preta, Pichachas, they all live in Bhuvarloka. So that is Bhuvarloka. Bhuvarloka is the outer space or Antariksha. No, this is Bhumandala, Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka and Swargaloka. Gayatri Mantra, Om Bhur Bhuva Swaha. Yeah, 24th chapter. 24th chapter, the details are. Yeah, Bhuvarloka is explained in 24th chapter, first few verses, 5-6 verses. Then it talks about Bilaswarga, lower planetary systems. So this is just to remember how the universe look like. This analogy, don't extend it too much. If you stretch it, it will break. So this is one ISKCON image, the famous, wherever you go, you see this bigger image. This is part of that. These are the 14 planetary system, vertically you can see. And on the top, there are seven layers. So in the bottom, Garbhodakashaya Vishnu, from his lotus coming a lotus stem, and top of the lotus stem, there is a lotus flower, on top of it, Brahmaji is there. So that is how it is all. So this is the whole universe. There is no lotus stem and lotus flower, because we are focusing on Bhumandala, only Bhumandala is there in the middle. So the lower half is filled with water, Garbhodaka ocean, upper half is filled with space, that is Akash. In the middle portion, there is Bhumandala. So there are different colors are there. We'll get to know by the end of today's presentation what are they. So what remains is Bhumandala. the space and water gone. What remained is earth element. So now we'll discuss about this Bhumandala. So this is one of our latest images. Satish Prabhu made all these things. So Bhagavatam, 16th chapter, verse number 5 and 6, briefly describes about the Bhumandala and then directly goes to Jambudvipa. So what is the description of Bhumandala? So Bhumandala looks like a lotus flower. It also looks like a lotus flower. When you see from the top, the circular coverings, the circular things what we have seen in the previous image, that actually looks like a lotus flower with a different petals. So what is spoken by Sukadeva Goswami is, yes, Prabhu, pointer, pen. Esha madde ilavrutam. This is Kuvalaya kamala koshabhyam kosho. This is the Sanskrit word. Basically, Kuvalaya is referring to lotus flower. So, the Bhumandala looks like a lotus flower. The seven islands look like seven circular coverings on a lotus flower. When you remove the petals, there will be different layers of petals. Each layer would be corresponding to each dvipa on the Bhumandala. And the Jambudvipa is the whorl of that lotus flower. The centralmost petals, whatever we can say, that is called, that can be corresponding to Jambudvipa. So how does they look like? So this is not exactly lotus flower, but something resembling to our description. So this central portion, this is centralmost portion, this is Jambudvipa. So each layer of the petals, we can consider to be one dvipa. This is one dvipa, this is one dvipa, this is one more dvipa, like that. You can go as outside, there are multiple set of circular coverings. They are correspond to different dvipas of Bhumandala. So now, so there was one Bhumandala, it has been divided into seven dvipas. This is done by Priyavrata Maharaj. This is explained in first chapter. So after hearing that, Parishit Maharaj hears about the Priyavrata Maharaj descendants, all those details goes all the way up to 15th chapter. Yeah, that's what Bhagavatam says. The oceans might have been there. They are not there the way they are now. Just like in the fourth canto, King Prithu, he actually established proper townships, proper villages, proper residential places for different things. So that's why he is called Adiraja. He is glorified as Adiraja, the first king. Actually, he is not the first king. Before him, there was Swayambhu Manu, Uttanapada, Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, all these people are there. But he is considered to be Adiraja because he did this task of properly categorizing what is what. This is town, this is city, this is village, this is whatever. All the divisions are made by him. He constructed different buildings according to the place. Cities have different buildings, villages have different buildings. In the same way, Priyavrata Maharaj properly divided them. So actually, it is glorified in the first chapter at the end that he did this Herculean task so that people will not fight in the future. So for their benefit, he did it. Yeah. In the first chapter only, at the end, one of the last verses, by the rim of his chariot wheel, he made seven oceans and destroyed the darkness of night. He arranged the situation of the earth for the welfare of the people so that there were divisions and borders for each continent by means of rivers, mountains and forests. So, Chakravartipada writes that he arranged the earth with continents and made boundaries by rivers and mountains for the happiness of the leaders of the people. For the happiness of the leaders of the people, so that other leader of the other country will not attack on him. Because of the natural boundary, they will not come this side and fight with him. So then, last he said that, so they could not exist, they could exist without quarreling with each other. This is the intention of Priyavrata Maharaj in dividing this. But yes, Prabhu. This is not Satyuga Prabhu, this is Swayambhuva Manvantara. Yeah, whatever you are. Prabhuji, don't analyze too much. This is my humble request. I mean, I don't know all the details. And so, Priyavrata Maharaj's wonderful activities are described in first chapter 30 to 35. He ruled the earth for 11 Arbuda years. which is almost equal to 25 Divayugas. So before taking up the rule, about 35 Divayugas, half of the Manvantara period, he performed austerities in the ashram of Narada Muni. Half of the Swayambhuva Manvantara period is ruled by the descendants of Uttanapada, his younger brother. So when there was no more descendant to rule the kingdom, because Daksha was supposed to rule the kingdom, he did not rule the kingdom. He wanted to atone for his offense committed to Lord Shiva, because he lost his powers and he became the son of a Kshatrani. He was a Manasputra Brahmaji. Because of his offense against Lord Shiva, he lost his life and he appeared as the son of Prachetas. So he does not want to continue as a Kshatriya. He want to become Brahma's son. He want to become glorious again. So for that he went to forest to perform austerities, to regain his powers. So there was no one to rule. So Swayambhu Manu came down all the way from heaven and he requested Priyavata Maharaj to take up the rule. By that time, 35 Divayugas are completed. Half of the Manvantara is completed. So next he took up the rule and he ruled for 25 Divayugas. And remaining his descendants, they continued the remaining time period, whatever it is, in that Manvantara period. That's by the end, who is that Vijaya? Gaya? Not Gaya, King Viraja. He is the last king of the 15th chapter. So he complete, by with him, the Swayambhuva Manvantara period is completed. So that is all. So he ruled for, so this is one of the greatest activity. And then he divided the one Bhumandala into seven Dvipas and seven oceans. This is another activity which ordinary person cannot do. So Sukadeva Goswami at the end, he says that the following verses praise Priyavrata. Who could perform the actions of Priyavrata except the Supreme Lord himself? Who else can perform such activity except the Supreme Lord? The next to him, Priyavrata could perform that activity. So what he did, we just briefly see. So, and after dividing them, he gave to seven sons. So this is what is happening during that time. When Priyavrata Maharaj ruling, the sun was traveling in his own orbit. So because of his movements, only half of the Bhumandala getting brightness, other half experiencing darkness. So he wanted to create brightness to the other half also, so that they will also daytime, they will have more daytime, they can perform more devotional service. This is my speculation. So, so basically he wanted to create daylight in the darkness. So for that, he himself manifested another son. So it's basically he expanded into two. One person is ruling the kingdom. The second person is traveling in his own chariot, made up of his own tapasya. And this chariot also has got only one wheel. And he is traveling opposite side of the sun, so that other half will get sunlight. So he traveled like that in seven circles, because of which seven oceans are formed. Because when he was traveling in the chariot wheel created impressions on the Bhumandala. The impressions later on filled with different kinds of waters, they transformed into different oceans. So how he divided, we'll see. So these are text. He followed the orbit of the sun god in seven circles for 1 year. He traveled over 1 year in seven circles. And Chakravarti writes that as long as he was living, he was performing this activity. It is not that he did it only for 1 year. But in 1 year he traveled in seven circles. How he traveled, we'll discuss in seven circles. The impressions created by the wheel later on transformed into different oceans. And so this is one thing. Okay, we'll discuss when we go to the image. So now there is some animation. Aapka Anand Kaliye. So this is Bhumandala. This is Bhumandala. So there is Mount Meru in the middle. So Bhagavatam says that the sun is traveling on one side of Mount Meru. When he is traveling this side, this half is bright. So sun is here, this half is bright and this half is dark. So they are experiencing night and these people are experiencing daytime. So Priyavrata wanted to create day also for them. So yeah, you have seen that, how it was. So when sun was moving, he created, the sun is creating 50% of it is darkness continuously. Sorry, I am not getting it here. I don't know why. So now Priyavrata Maharaj manifested himself on the second side of the second sun. So darkness has disappeared. Throughout the Bhumandala they are experiencing daytime. So Bhagavatam says that following the path of sun, Priyavrata traveled in seven circles. So sun is moving like that clockwise. So Priyavrata also following the path in the opposite direction. So he traveled in this circle for 26 days, approximately 26 days, 25.76, something like that, actual number, but 26 we will take. So If something goes again and again, it obviously creates a proper path. So like that, it created a ditch. It is filled with water. This is the first ocean. Previously it was one land. Now it has become two. Inside the water one, outside the water one. So next, what he did? He went to outside. After 26 days, he went outside. When he went outside, he increased his size into two times. Because the centralmost place is his kingdom. The people, he want to show himself to his people. Because just like in airplane, when you see in the airport, it is very big. As it goes into the space, it looks very small. But if that airplane can increase its size proportionally in the sky also, we will be seeing the airplane the same size, what we see on the earth. In the same way, Priyavrata, when he went outside, he created himself of two sizes. The chariot also increased two times. He himself increased two times. And the chariot will also increase two times. So that people living in the central area can see him of same size. So for that reason. So now, following the path of sun. So he traveled for 26 days. So like that, he was going outside again. After 26 days, he went out. So he traveled for 26 days. So it created third ocean. Then he traveled for 26 days. It created fourth ocean. You see, this is not exactly to the scale, but at least you can understand that every ocean is twice the size. And the land inside is also twice the size. Because he is increasing himself two times. So, like that, he further continued. Like that, he further continued. This is sixth ocean he created. So, this is the seventh ocean. So, till now, how many days covered? 7 into 26. How many days? 182. Yeah. So, you are sitting in the front. So, this is, Bhagavatam says that, in half year, 6 months, he went outside. From inside to all the way, he went outside, 6 months. In the next 6 months, in the reverse order, he came in. That means, he traveled again the same circle for 26 days. So, this is how he went from inside to outside over 6 months. So, some explanation. Each island is twice the previous one. Because he is increasing himself in two times. Charity is also two times. Charity is also two times. So, ocean is two times. Land is also two times. Though there are seven chariots. It is said that the chariots are of different size. So, they are said to be seven chariots for 25.76 days. So, that comes around 180 days or 182. We have taken round figure. So, he started during summer equinox time. That is Karka Sankranti, July 17th. All the way up to Pusha Mas, that is January. He started at the Jambu Dvipa during Karka Sankranti. He went all the way up to 7th Dvipa. By the time he reached there, it is Pusha Mas or January. Now, currently the month is Pusha Mas. That's why we celebrated Pusha Abhishek. So, now, return travel. Starting with winter equinox, that is Makara Sankranti, January 15th. He went inside all the way up to July. That is Ashada month. During just at the end of Ashada month, we have Ratayatra every year. Just at the end of Ashada month, only Ratayatra comes. So, 6 months, 6 months. So, in a year, he covered all the seven circles. That is what Bhagavatam explains. So, now he is returning. This is the seventh cycle, sixth cycle, fifth cycle, fourth cycle, third cycle, second cycle, first cycle. 1 year got completed.
Just one quick query. This is travel till the Loka mountain, not beyond it. Is that circle? Is it like that?
As of now, we did not spoke about Loka mountain. When we speak about it, we'll discuss about it. I mean, no mountain. He's traveling in a chariot. His chariot will create oceans. Seven oceans, Prabhuji. Seven oceans. Seven, Abhi, for example. Yeah. We are discussing about the Dvipa inside the ocean. There is something outside also. That we'll discuss in 20th chapter. So now it is only inside the Dvipa. Yes. Doubling. Where it is same, it is double, Ruji. You see? Yeah, breadth of the ocean. Breadth means from here to here. This distance and this distance, you see? This is double to the previous one. And this is double to the previous one. Where it is written? Okay, okay. No. The same is, I'll tell you. This land is there, na? The breadth of this land and this ocean, that is both are same. Yes, Prabhu? The land and ocean both are same. Prabhuji, each island is twice the previous one. Each ocean of same size in breadth. Of same size of what? Not ocean, but the previous line, the dvipa. The subsequent ocean is of the same size of the corresponding dvipa. So, this is first chapter. You should be telling me instead of asking me, because you have covered first chapter. Prabhuji, exam also likha na? Sab logo pachas aaya. You see, these are the names given in Bhagavatam. The seventh ocean is sweet drinking water. Seventh dvipa is Pushkar dvipa. Emulsified yogurt, Shaka dvipa. So like that, different names are there. So this is how Privrat Maharaj continued this travel as long as you were living. That's what Chikratpa says.
So he gives different opinions. Some people say it's still like that. Some people say it is not like that. So there is no contradiction. Since it is not proper to say that Privrata stopped pursuing the sun after only 7 days. And some say he did not give up this activity because of these seven oceans, seven continents formed. So this is how Chakravarti Pad explains that. He did not give up this activity as long as he was there.
Babuji, this is second Priyavrata. He expanded himself into second form. Actual Priyavrata is there in his kingdom. He is ruling. No night. So it is not okay. Now, Toda Zoom version. Toda Zooming. See, the central most is. So now we are going to discuss about Jambu Dvipa, which is the central most island. Okay? This Jambu Dvipa we will discuss from chapter 16 to 19. The 20th chapter we will discuss about remaining things. So this is Mount Meru in the middle of Jambu Dvipa. So now we'll go ahead. So these are the seven oceans, seven dvipas. The seven dvipas and seven oceans. And they were given to seven sons of Privrat Maharaj. Their dimensions, each is two times becoming bigger. X, 2X, 4X, 8X, 16X, like that. So some mathematical details. These are the oceans names, Kshirodha, Rakshodha, all those things. The radius of Bhumandala, what we can compute from these details is, so it comes around, so 253.5 times X. But Bhagavatam further explains that X is equal to 1 lakh yojanas. So when you put 1 lakh yojanas here, it becomes 25.35 million yojanas. So all the dimensions given in Bhagavatam are in yojanas. One yojana is equal to 8 miles. 1 mile is equal to 1.609 kilometers. So approximately 13 kilometers per yojana. So you can transform that into kilometers and do whatever you want. So descendants of Privrat Maharaj. So this anyway, the previous thing. Privrat Maharaj had two wives. The second wife gave birth to three sons. They became three, say, third, fourth and fifth Manvantara's periods. Manus, Uttama, Tamasa and Raivata Manus. The first wife begot 10 sons and one daughter. Daughter was given to the Shukracharya in marriage. And that out of 10 sons, 3 became Paramahamsas, sannyasis. And the 7 sons became 7 kings. They became the rulers of 7 dvipas. Agnidra, Idmajiva, Ignabahu, Iranareta, like that. Agnidra is the ruler of first Jambudvipa. Agnidra you have studied in second chapter. And his son also you have studied in third chapter, fourth chapter, like that. So now we'll come to Jambudvipa. So this is about what we have seen based on this slide only. Whole Bhumandala looks like lotus flower. That entire circle thing looks like lotus flower. And they are all the dvipa, islands are like circular coverings. Jambu Dvipa is the central most island. So now this is the comparison. So these are like that one image. So now we are in Jambu Dvipa, 516. So Jambu Dvipa is the like central oral of the Jambu Dvipa. You see here? So this portion we can consider to be land. And this one is like the mountain in the Jambu Dvipa. That is Sumeru Mountain, which is like a pericap. That's what Bhagavatam says. So now, Jambu Dvipa is the oral of the lotus. That is round like a lotus leaf. This Jambu Dvipa, what we see, is round like a lotus leaf. So its width, length and breadth are 0.1 million yojanas. That is basically the diameter of the Jambudvipa, the diameter of the circle. So there are 9 varshas in this Jambudvipa. Each is of a width of 9,000 yojanas. The 9 varshas, each with a width of 9,000 yojanas. So this one Jambudvipa divided into 9 varshas because of the presence of 8 mountains. These 8 mountains act as natural boundaries. And there are 9 varshas. They are ruled by 9 sons of Agnidra. Agnidra married Purochiti. Yeah, she begot 9 sons. Those 9 lands are given to 9 sons. So, the central varsha among all these 9 varshas is Ilavruta varsha. So, Bhagavatam just introduces Jambudvipa. Then it elaborately talks about Ilavruta varsha. Then it goes to the description of other things. In the center of the Ilavruta varsha is Mount Sumeru. Whatever we have seen in the previous image, that Mount Meru, that is in the middle. So basically the Mount Meru is the center of entire Bhumandala. It is the very center of entire Bhumandala. So it looks like a pericap of the lotus-like Bhumandala. The previous image we have seen, the pericap is coming. So this is the thing we can see. So this is the entire thing is Jambudvipa. This is the pericap. What we see is like Mount Meru, which is tall. So now, how that Mount Meru is situated is describing. The width of the Jambudvipa is 1 lakh yojanas, that is 0.1 million yojanas. So Bhagavatam explains, the height of Mount Meru is also 1 lakh yojanas. The total height of Mount Meru is 1 lakh yojanas. Out of 1 lakh yojanas, only 84,000 yojanas is above Jambudvipa. And the remaining 16,000 yojanas is within the Jambudvipa. This is just like a building has got some basement also. That basement is inside the earth. So like that, this mountain has got some basement portion, that is 16,000 yojanas within the Jambudvipa. The upper portion is 84,000. Generally, a mountain is like this triangular shape, but this is inverted cone. At the base, the width is small. As you go upward, the width is increasing. At the base, it is 16,000 yojanas. On the top, it is 32,000 yojanas. This is like an inverted cone, this mountain is. So this is how, this is one animation image from His Holiness Danavir Goswami Maharaj's video. So this image, you see, there is Mount Meru in the middle and there is Jambudvipa. In that there are so many mountains dividing this Jambudvipa into different parts. And it's like that. So in the next image, you'll see. Okay, here you can see a little bit more clarity. These are 8 mountains dividing this Jambudvipa into 9 parts. Where are you? No, Prabhuji. No problem. Yeah, actually, here there is one option. Arrow option. Yeah. Visible. Arrow. It shows one dot, Prabhuji. It shows one dot, if you want. Yeah, here itself you can see a dot. That is pen to right. It's very dim. It's very dim. आ गया ना हाँ नो जलेगा उतना मुंह करने का मुझे वो कुछ नहीं करने का या वो नहीं ये आप चाहिए ना आगे कैसे जाएंगे हाँ या नहीं तो ये प्रॉब्लम है ओके छोड़ दो सब बाहर लेके आ ओके ओके Okay, Prabhuji, this is Jambudvipa. So this we have seen. So now, how the divisions are made in Jambudvipa, that is described in 16th chapter, we'll see. There is Mount Meru in the middle. So whose base, width at the base is 16,000 yojanas. And there is, it is the centralmost part of Ilavruta Varsha. So there are 3 mountains on the northern side. So they divide the land into 3 different varshas. So basically, okay. There are Nila Mountain, Sweta Mountain, Shringavan Mountain, and they cause the three divisions of the land: Rammeka Varsha, Hiranmaya Varsha, Kuru Varsha. And then in the southern side, there are three more mountains: Nishada, Hemakuta, and Himalaya. They cause Hari, Kimprusha, and Bharata Varsha. In the east and west, there are two mountains: that is Gandhamadana and Malivan. They cause two more Varshas, Bhadrashva and Ketumala. Now, in total, we have eight mountains: three mountains in the southern part, three mountains in the northern part, one is in the east, one is in the west. And this causes the division of nine Varshas. Okay. That will help me to show actually what I am speaking. Otherwise, Uparkai. Okay. You can able to make out eight mountains, nine Varshas. A Varsha is defined as a land which is in between two mountains. There are two subsequent mountains in between that land is called Varsha. Okay? And a Dvipa is called that land which has water on both the sides. Dvi Apa. Bhumi Rapo Nalo Vayu. Apa is water. Earth, water, fire, ether. So the Dvipa is the island or island is it has water on both the sides. And here Varsha is basically it is a land between two mountains. So Bhagavatam talks about Dvipas and Varshas many times. So we should remember this. When it is said Varsha means it is a land between two mountains. When it is said Dvipa means it is an island in between the water. So these are nine Dvipas. These are the eight mountains. See, 3 + 3 + 2, eight mountains. Including Mount Meru, total becomes nine mountains. In that way we can take nine. So the shape of this Jambudvipa is described in Vayupurana. So two Varshas in north and south are bow-shaped. The Varshas which are in the extreme north and extreme south are bow-shaped. And four Varshas are long. They are long. One Varsha that is known as Ilavrata is square. And two other Varshas, they also shaped like a bows. Shaped like bows. So total there are nine Varshas. So they are running horizontally, enters the sea. So here you see. The northern Varsha, Kuru Varsha, and the southern Varsha, Bharata Varsha, looks like a bow. Yes? And the four Varshas, Rammeka and Hiranmaya, Hari and Kimpurusha, they are straight. And the two Varshas, Bhadrashva and Ketumala, they are like bow-shaped only, but not exactly bows. The centralmost Varsha, Ilavrata Varsha, is square in shape. So this is how the description is given. And now, little bit mathematics. So you see, the dimensions are given for all the Varshas. The nine yojanas is the width. Bhagavatam in the previous slide we said that each Varsha is about nine yojanas in width. So from the top to this mountain, it is nine yojanas. Sir, 9,000 yojanas. It helps me to communicate the things properly. That is the only reason, otherwise. So if you see, from the top, we start from the top. Prabhuji, leave it, you can sit. So we start from the top. The Kuru Varsha is said to be 9,000 yojanas in width. The Kuru Varsha is 9,000 yojanas. Then Shrungaman Mountain, its width is 2,000 yojanas. And its height is 10,000 yojanas. This is what is mentioned in Bhagavatam. Height means what we don't see. This is 2D image. Height of the mountain is 10,000 yojanas. And length, they are basically calculated in the circle. In that location, if the circle, if you calculate mathematically, what would be the length? It is like that. So, the upper Kuru Varsha is 9,000, mountain is 2,000. The next Varsha is 9,000, mountain is 2,000. Next Varsha is 9,000, mountain is 2,000. 9 + 2 = 11, into 3, 33. So, from Kuru Varsha all the way up to Nila Mountain is 33. The same way in the bottom side, Bharata Varsha, Himalaya, Kimpurusha, Hemakuta, Hari and Nishada, all put together 33. 33 + 33 = 66. 100 - 66 will be 34. That is the width of the Ilavrata Varsha. The square shaped Ilavrata Varsha is about 34. It is there in the uppermost left column. Malevan, Gandhamadana, then Niche 1-4, IV, Ilavrata Varsha, length and width is 34 by 34. So it is a square Varsha.
we have got one number 34. The other number, if it is square, other number should be the same, 34. So in the 34 also, if you see, the Mount Meru itself, its base width is 16. 34 minus 16, 18. 18 by 2, so it is 9,000 yojanas on either side of the Meru. So in that way, whatever Bhagavatam is saying in one statement, that is every varsha is about 9,000 yojanas in width. So that is satisfied. So yella urta varsha horizontally, it is 34,000 yojanas. And the, both the mountains, Gandhamadana and Malayavana are 2,000 each. So 34 plus 4, 38. 100 minus 38, 62. By 2, 31. So both the varshas, Bhadrashvan, Ketumala will be 31 varshas in width. So that is the number. But these two varshas are exactly not 9,000. But there is a different number for these two. Except these two remaining all are of 9,000 yojanas in width. This is Bhagavatam explanation. So now, yeah, this is the image made by our dear Yangana Chaitanya Guru. Same, the mountains are indicated here. This you see, the Jambudipa in the middle, there is salt water ocean around, which is two times to the Jambudipa size. The Jambudipa, you see here clearly, the eight mountains, which are 10,000 yojanas in height, and width is 2,000 yojanas, this is made to the scale. The Mount Meru is about 84,000 yojanas in height. So these are all things you can see. So a little close up. So description of Ilavrata Varsha. Then Bhagavatam talks about Ilavrata Varsha. Ilavrata Varsha, it is described that there are four mountains and four sides of Mount Meru. So their length, height and width are given. 10,000, 10,000 and 2,000. 10,000 yojanas in length and 10,000 yojanas in height and 2,000 yojanas in width. Most of the mountains within Jambudvipa, they are all 2,000 yojanas in width. The width is only 2,000 yojanas, most of them. And on top of these four mountains, just like a flag, there are four trees, four different varieties of trees. Their width and height are given as 100 yojanas and 1,100 yojanas. The width is 100 yojanas. One yojana is equal to 13 kilometers. 100 into 13, 1300. 1300 kilometers is something like Bombay to Jagannath Puri. That is the width of the tree. The height is, we cannot imagine, 11,000 and 1100 yojanas into 13, that becomes very big. So this is the extent of those trees, very big trees. So, and at the base of this mountain, there are four huge lakes. These lakes are filled with different kinds of water. And adjacent to these lakes, there are four celestial gardens in which all the varieties of demigods come and play and spend their time happily. There are two mountains on each side of this, on each side of Mount Meru. In addition to these four mountains, there are two set of two mountains on each side. So now we see, this is Mount Meru in the middle. These are the two set of mountains. So each side, there are two mountains. These are two. You can, the names are the Trishringa, Makara, and Jatara, Devakuta, Karavira, Kailash, Pavana, and Parya. So like that, these are two set of mountains. So Bhagavatam explains that. So with these eight mountains surrounding Mount Meru looks like fire in the Yajnakunda. So the acharyas explain that these mountains are like in a Yajnakunda, on the four walls you keep darbha grass, which covers all four directions. These four mountains are compared to darbha grass. And in the middle, the Mount Meru, which is going like, that is golden mountain, it looks like a blazing sacrificial fire. That is how Bhagavatam describes these mountains and this Mount Meru. Ashtabir etai Parishruto Agnir Iva Parita Chakshit Kanchanagiri. It is a Kanchanagiri golden mountain. It looks like the sacrificial fire coming out of the Yajnakunda. So there are four mountains on either side. So these four mountains have four trees on top of them. And in addition to them, there are 20 Kesharachala mountains in a circular form. They are around this entire area. So the length is gradually increasing. The innermost eight mountains, their length is only 2,000. The middle mountains are 10,000. And this Kesharachala mountain's height is as good as Mount Meru, some 70,000-80,000 yojanas, something like that. So they are all these mountains act like support to Mount Meru.
So this is made by one of our previous Vidyapeeth students. So the four mountains, and top of them four trees. This is Devachuta mango tree, this is Jambu tree, and this is Kadamba tree, and this is Shatavalsa, Kumuda. So, and then there are four lakes at the base of the mountain. They are filled with milk, honey, sugar cane juice, and pure water. These are the water. And there are four gardens, Nandana Garden, and Chitrarata, Vibrajata, and Sarvatobhadra. It's like that. So now, when this fruit falls down, it creates a huge river. So that river is called Arunoda River. That is mango juice, basically. So those eksha women, by drinking this water, from their bodies, wonderful perfume comes. That is spread across 100 yojanas. Something like that is described. And from Jambu fruit, when it falls down, it becomes a ocean. When it touches the sand on the banks, both the banks, it transforms into gold being heated by sun. When it touches the heat, air, and the sand, the entire sand transforms into gold. This gold is worn by people who are living in this area. And then this is fragrant from their mouth. Basically, there is another set of honey rivers. So by drinking this, the people exhibit fragrance from their mouths. So here, Prabhupada actually briefly, elaborately explains in this part. There are 100 rivers. From these rivers comes all the natural things, whatever we need. Milk, honey, sugar, milk, honey, yogurt, and all the ingredients, whatever we need for our sustenance. So just by having all these natural products, we can be prosperous. We don't have to go to factories to work like anything. So that's what Prabhupada says. Actually, our life will be happy just by doing three things. The cow protection and protection of forests and agriculture. When we do these three things, whatever we need, we get it. So we don't have to go to companies and produce nuts and bolts like the Prabhupada says. So these are eight mountains. These are Kesarachala mountains. So this is the image made by our Gangana Chaitanya Prabhu. All the mountains are there. So this is the close-up of that. There are four mountains and four trees on the top of that. There are lakes in the bottom. Something like that. So when you remove Mount Meru, so everything you can see. The Kon 20 Kesarachala mountains. These are the Kesarachala mountains. They are like a small pencil type of mountains. They are starting from the base and going all the way up to the top. So now Bhagavatam describes about eight demigods have their townships on the top of Mount Meru. This is the top of Mount Meru. The Lokapalas have their townships along with Brahmaji in the middle. So Brahmaji's township is in the middle of this Mount Meru. And the eight Lokapalas have their mountains, their townships and the surrounding areas. These are actually like townships. They are not their permanent residential places, townships. So this is how you can see on the top of the Mount Meru, their townships are located. Brahmaji is in the middle, and Indra, Varuna, Vayu, like that, they are all their own townships. This is some sample of their towns. They have a nice place, pleasant towns. So now, this is a verse actually explained in 19th chapter last, because the context is Jambudvipa, I just put it there. So there are eight smaller islands around Jambudvipa. They are created by the sons of Sagar Maharaj while searching for their lost horse. When Sagar Maharaj was performing horse sacrifice, Ashwamedha Yajna, Indra becomes disturbed and he took away the horse and put it in Kapil Dev's ashram in Patala Loka. So when Sagar Maharaj's sons, 60,000 sons, when they went in search of that horse, so they dug the Jambudvipa. So while digging the Jambudvipa, there are eight smaller islands are formed. So they are surrounding this thing. Their names are Swarna, this thing, all these things. We can see this Ramanaka, Simhala, and Lanka. So these are some names which we get in Bhagavatam. Ramanaka island is that where after punishing Kaliya, Lord Krishna told Kaliya to go away from this place. So Kaliya went to this Ramanaka island. So Lanka we hear sometimes, Sri Lanka something, not exactly Sri Lanka, but Lanka. This is Lanka of Ravana. So these are the surrounding dvipas, we can see. This is some approximate understanding. They could be like that. So now 17th chapter talks about the descent of Ganges. How Mother Ganges descended. In 8th canto, it is described that when Lord Vamandev expanded himself to occupy the three steps of land given by Bali Maharaj, with his right foot, he covered the entire Bhumandala. With his right foot, he covered the entire Bhumandala. With his left foot, he covered the total upper planetary system, the lotus stem and lotus flower, everything. But his toe of the right foot, it has pierced the shell of the universe. It went outside the universe, where Viraja ocean entered into the universe. That Viraja water flows through entire universe, and it is known as Ganges. So first, when it is pierced, it came to Satyaloka. There, Lord Brahma collects some of the water which is coming inside the universe. With the same water, he worships Abhishek to Lord's lotus feet. So then, this Ganges, there was no name to this. This became known as Bhagavat Padi, because it is emanating from the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So it is called Bhagavat Padi then. Then it came down to all the way up to Dhruvaloka. In Dhruvaloka, it got a name called Vishnupadi, because Dhruvaloka is the abode of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. That is called Vishnupada, the abode of Lord Vishnu. So Ganges is coming all the way up to Dhruvaloka, and it is going further. So that area, that time onwards, it is called as Vishnupadi, because it is going through the Vishnupada. So then it comes to the moon planet, Chandraloka. So from there, it comes to the top of Mount Meru. The center of Mount Meru is Brahmapuri. Brahma's township is there. It comes to that place. And from there, it divides into four branches. The four branches will go in four directions. One goes in eastern direction, that is called Sita. One goes in western direction, that is called Chakshu. One goes in northern direction, that is called Bhadra. The fourth one goes in southern direction, that is called Alakananda. So now we see. So Ganges landed in Brahmapuri, all the way from Viraja Ocean. So the eastern side, the branch is called Isita. The western side, Chakshu. The northern side, Bhadra. Southern side, Alakananda. And in addition to these rivers, there are many other small branches. Hundreds of tributaries are there. So now we see. When it comes to Jambudvipa, how they flow. So the eastern branch, which is falling down from the top of Mount Meru, it first falls on the peaks of Kesarachala mountain. Then it falls on the peaks of Gandhamadana mountain. Then it falls down to Bhadrashvavarsha. Then eventually enters into saltwater ocean. Then on the western side, Chakshush, from the peaks of Kesarachala mountain, enters into Malevan, and then enters into Ketumala, then eventually enters into the ocean. The northern Bhadra, from the Kesarachala mountain, it falls on Nila mountain. From there it jumps to Shweta mountain. From there it jumps to Shringavan mountain. From there it enters into Kuru Varsha. Thereon it enters into salt water ocean. The fourth one, Alakananda, it comes to Nishada mountain. From there it jumps to Yamakuta. From there it jumps to Himalaya mountain. Then it enters into Bharata Varsha. Flowing through Bharata Varsha, it enters into salt water ocean at West Bengal. Ganga Sagar Mela, what we celebrate during Makar Sankranti. This is the same Ganges. All the way it is traveling all over the universe and enters into Bharata Varsha, then enters into Himalayas, India, and flows all the way northern India. It enters into the ocean, Pacific Ocean at West Bengal. So from there, it goes all the way down up to Patala to purify the 60,000 sons of Sagar Maharaj. So that is how Ganges flows all over the universe. That's why she has got the name of Triloka Pavani. She purifies all the planetary system in the entire universe. Yeah, that is on the Himalayas. So she also called as Jahnavi and Bhagirathi. Jahnavi because Janumuni engulfed it and then released it. This happened in Navadvipa, Navadvip area only. Janudvip. And then another branch of Ganges is brought down by Bhagirath Maharaj. That's why she is called Bhagirathi also. So this image you see, the Ganges is coming down all the way.
In the southernmost area, you see India is there. Through India, the Ganges goes through and enters into. So Ganges is coming like this. In India, you see this, there is a black line. Here one black line is there. This is Ganges. Here in West Bengal, Bay of Bengal, it is entering into the salt water ocean. Pacific Ocean. So this is how on the top of Mount Meru it is divided into four parts. This is the bar, how it jumps down and goes through whole Jambudvipa. So you see here how it is jumping down from one mountain to other mountain. Yeah, you can see here how it is jumping. Yeah, yes, Prabhu. Most of the river is jumping from one mountain to other mountain. Some part of the water is going to the land also. But generally it is like any hydro power plant. If you go, the water, when you open the gates, water comes down and suddenly it jumps and then goes ahead. That's how. Yeah, Bharatavarsha. In other place also it flows, but only a small quantity. But in Bharatavarsha, whole water flows. Which photo? Somebody draw that image. We'll discuss about these details later. In 19th chapter we'll discuss. This is, now we are in 17th chapter only. So what is described in Bhagavatam, just going through. This is some close-up image. So now next Bhagavatam describes about the details about these nine varshas, the nine varshas of Jambudvipa. Briefly it explains. The Bharata Varsha is considered to be the field of Karma Bhumi. It is a Karma Bhumi. It is field of Karma. And the other eight varshas are said to be the heavenly abodes on the earthly realm. Bhauma Svarga Padani. They are heavenly abodes on the earthly realm. So in the purport it comes, Prabhupada also explains very elaborately, even Shloka also tells that. Those people who perform piety, they will go to heaven, that is actual Svarga Loka. After fulfilling their 90% of piety, they will come to these places, which are in Jambudvipa, the rest of the eight varshas of Jambudvipa. They enjoy the remainder of their piety, and then they will come to Bharata Varsha. To accumulate piety, more piety and whatever that. So these eight places are considered to be the Bhoga Bhumi, the places for enjoyment. The Bharata Varsha is considered to be the place of Karma, Karma Bhumi, where we can perform piety and impiety, and we can also perform bhakti, and we can go back home back to God. That is what the difference is there. So Bhagavatam at this point of time, 70 chapter, talks about other eight Varshas. So how do they live? They live like devatas for 10,000 years. Each person who ever born in this land, they live for 10,000 years. And they have the bodily strength of 10,000 elephants. Everyone is as strong as 10,000 elephants. And they have wives who conceive only once in their last year. So they have their wives, but they don't beget children. They beget children only during their last year. That is after spending 9,999 years. So somebody asked me recently, so when they get children at that last year, how the children will grow? So who will take care of the children? So basically, in the demigods' planets, when children grows, the children is born, immediately becomes youth. There is no childhood phase for them. They immediately become youth. And they experience the happiness of Treta Yuga. Okay? All people who are born in this area, they experience the happiness of Treta Yuga. One small connection, kindly remember this. They are living for 10,000 years. They are experiencing the happiness of Treta Yuga. So at least we used to hear in the beginning days, Kali Yuga people live for 100 years. Dwapara Yuga they live for 1,000 years. Treta Yuga 10,000 years. And Satya Yuga 1 lakh years. So 10,000 years and the happiness of Treta Yuga. So we can understand that this place they are experiencing Treta Yuga. So that we'll come back to this point again afterwards. So now the further details. How do they live? They have gardens filled with seasonal flowers and fruits. Their houses are beautifully decorated with a lot of
flower gardens and all. And their surroundings are filled with enormous lakes, which are filled with lot of flowers and different varieties of birds. And all the demigod leaders, all the people who are living, they are as good as demigods. So their leaders, along with their wives, they enjoy in these gardens and lakes very nicely. That's how they pass their time. So Srila Prabhupada writes, the heavenly residents enjoy superior happiness, but they never forget their position as eternal servants of the Supreme Lord. But whenever the human beings get such kind of facilities, they do forget that they are the Supreme Personality of Godhead's eternal servants. So that is the distinction between these people and normal human beings. So in then Bhagavatam describes about all the residences living in these various varshas of Jambudvipa, they worship their Ishtadev. So all the people also along with their leader, they worship the Supreme Lord. Lord Shiva is worshipping Lord Sankarsana in Ilavruta Varsha. And Bhadrashrava, the leader of that land, is worshipping Lord Hayashirsha, Lord Ayagriva. And Prahlad Maharaj is worshipping Lord Narasimhadev in Harivarsha. La Mother Lakshmi, along with the daughters and sons of Prajapati Samvatsara, she is worshipping Lord Kamadeva, Lord Pradyumna in Ketumala Varsha. And Vaivashvata Manu is worshipping Lord Masya in Rammeka Varsha. So Aryama is worshipping Lord Kurma in Niramaya Varsha. Mother Earth is worshipping Lord Varaha in Uttarakuru Varsha. Hanumanji, along with all the monkeys of Ramayana, they are worshipping Lord Ram in Kimpurusha Varsha. And Nardamuni is worshipping Lord Naranarayan Rishi in Ajnabha Varsha. The bottom, southernmost one, which we call Bharata Varsha. So something like that. There are one, two connections I'll just mention. This Vaivashvata Manu, in his previous life, he is actually King Satyavrata. During Chakshusha Manvantara, there was a pralaya. During that time, Lord himself appeared in the form of a small fish and told him that within 7 days there is going to be a big pralaya. So throw me into the ocean and you collect all the food grains, and along with all the sages, you enter into the boat and tie that boat to my horn through Vasuki, making it as a rope. So I will save all of you, like that Lord Masya says. So Lord Masya in fact saves them, and the boat travels all over during the period of deluge, and then later on they will be landed at the Himalaya, then they'll continue their living. So in his next life, when he appeared as the son of sun god, his name was Shraddhadeva. He became the current Manu, the Vaivashvata Manu, because his son of Vivashvan is called Vaivashvata. So he the current Manu. So he was saved by Lord Masya. So he became the devotee of Masya Avatar. So he worshipped Lord Masya throughout his life. He is worshipping. In the same way, Prahlad Maharaj, after this pastime has been completed, the Hiranyakashipu's pastime has been completed, he ruled for some time, then he went and retired in this land. He is still staying in that land. That's what the understanding is. And after Ramayana pastime is over, all the monkeys, they went to Kimpurusha Varsha, they are still living there. Hanumanji along with all the other monkeys, they are still living there worshipping Lord Ram. And Narada Muni is worshipping Lord Naranarayan Rishi. It is said that in this Varsha, Narada Muni is teaching to the next Manu, Savarni Manu, about Jnana, Yoga and Bhakti. While teaching to Savarni, he is also worshipping Lord Naranarayan Rishi. Naranarayan Rishi is appeared in Swayambhu Manvantara. It comes in first chapter of fourth canto. So he is the son of Dharma and Murti. So that Naranarayan Rishi is being worshipped by Narada Muni. These are different places they are being worshipped. So one important connection is that Lord Shiva, when it is explained about this Ilavurta Varsha, if you remember, it is said that Lord Shiva is the only one male person lives in that Ilavurta Varsha. He, along with Bhavani and 1 billion maid servants who are known as Eksha women, they are all worshipping Lord Sankarsana, his own source. Lord Shiva's source is Lord Sankarsana. He is worshipping. But in the previous chapters, it is said that Ilavurta Varsha is filled with so many demigods. There are so many lakes and gardens. All the demigods come and enjoy. So many things are there. So if that is the case, how could the next verse, the later verses say that Lord Shiva is the only way male person in entire Ilavurta Varsha? And in fact, if you see, on the right side, in the eastern side, there is what is the mountain? Mandara Mountain. You are able to see Mandara Mountain? So this is the Mandara Mountain, which is taken by all the demigods and demons for Samudra Manthan pastime. This is the Mandara Mountain. All the demigods and demons came all the way here. They lifted that mountain. They could not lift. The mountain fell upon them. Lord Vishnu came and he lifted that mountain, put it on Garuda and took all the way up to Kshirasagar.
So if only one male Lord Shiva can living there, if somebody else enters into that land, if they become female, even this pastime is also explained once. Sudyumna, he is the son of Shraddhadeva, Vaivashtamanu, he entered into this land unknowingly. He became female. Her name was Ila. Later on she got married to Buddha, the son of moon god. So they begot Pururava. So through Pururava the moon dynasty began. So this comes in 9th canto, 1st chapter. So basically, so all these are said, and Bhagavatam also says that the only one male is living. Actually what is said in Bhagavatam, at this particular context in the chapter 17, this only belongs to this small area, this area only. Mount Karavira and Kailash. So wherever Mount Kailash is there, that is the residence of Lord Shiva. So this is one place Lord Shiva lives. There is another Kailash mountain which is in the Himalayas. There also Lord Shiva lives. And Lord Shiva also lives in Vitala Loka. Atala Sutala, Atala Vitala Sutala, Idana, that Vitala Loka. There also Lord Shiva lives. Like Lord Shiva is in his 11 Rudra forms, he lives at 11 places simultaneously. So like that. Only this area, it is said that in this area, whoever enters into this area, they will transform into female. Rest of the area is accessible to all the other demigods. Even Kardamuni also in his airplane, he took Mother Devahuti all over these places. They traveled all the way up to the top of Mount Meru and came back. So now, all these places are being worshipped by different demigods. In their different forms of the Supreme Lord by the leaders of the places. These are different forms of the lords. So now it is 11:36. So we'll break for some time.
Extend as far as the eye can see. One of the most appealing and mystifying of all sights. The beauty and the majesty of the universe have inspired awe and reverence in the best brains throughout history.
There is a perfect brain behind all the natural physical laws. This most beautiful system of the sun, planets, and comets could only proceed from the counsel and dominion of a powerful and intelligent being. Please describe the symptoms of this manifest world. What is its background? How is it created? How is it conserved? And under whose control is all this being done?
Here we behold a form of the super intelligent being Vishnu, reclining in mystic slumber amid the causal ocean. When he exhales, millions of universes issue from his body and expand until he inhales, when all the universes return within him. The universe is a sphere encased by successive coverings of the elements earth, water, fire, air, ether, intelligence, and ego. As a coconut has its hard outer shell and inner liquid, so the universe has its outer coverings and an inner space half filled with ocean water. On that ocean, another Vishnu expansion reclined on a serpent bed while being massaged by his consort Lakshmi. From his navel arose a lotus on which Brahma was born. Initially, the universe was pitch dark and Brahma engaged in meditation. Then he was empowered to create the universe. This account of creation may appear fantastic to some, but modern scientific theories also require fantastic leaps of faith to explain the origin of the universe. This is evident from the words of eminent physicist Stephen Hawking.
Either we have failed to see 99% of the universe, or we are wrong about how the universe began.
Vedic cosmology explains that the universe is made up of 14 vertically arranged planetary systems, or lokas. Each system resembles a galaxy and comprises stars, planets, and other celestial bodies. The topmost planetary system is Satyaloka, the abode of Brahma, which is at a height of 1.87 billion miles above Earth. Below this Satchaloka planetary system is the Tapaloka planetary system, the abode of the ascetics, which is at a height of nearly 1 billion miles above the Earth. Here, the ascetics live in a solitary, serene environment conducive for yoga and meditation on transcendence. Their disciplined life of joyous austerity prepares them for returning back to the non-material world. As we move down from Tapaloka, we pass through Maharloka and Janaloka until we reach the Svargaloka planetary system, also known as heaven. The alignment of heavenly bodies around the pole star was elucidated by Srila Prabhupada in a letter.
We can see that at night, the whole planetary system is turning around. And the pole star being the pivot, his planet has its orbit fixed, but the sun is moving up and down, north and south. It is not that we shall accept the theory that the sun is fixed and others are all going around the sun. That is not correct.
The greater earthly planetary system extends out to the edges of the universe and has a diameter of 4 billion miles. Known as Bhumandala, shaped like a lotus flower, it has 7 concentric islands and oceans with Mount Meru as its pericarp. The 7 oceans respectively contain salt water, sugarcane juice, liquor, clarified butter, milk, emulsified yogurt, and sweet drinking water. Sometimes Vedic cosmology is misconstrued as portraying the Earth to be a flat disk. This flat Earth misconception arises partly due to our inability to understand Vedic nomenclature. A single object may be referred to by several names, and a single name may refer to several objects. For example, the term Earth may be used to describe at least 6 different aspects of cosmology. The earth we live on is indeed a globe, as explained by the Sanskrit word parimandale, meaning spherical, used in the Mahabharata text. The flat disk refers to the greater earthly planetary system of Bhumandala. 4 elephants of inestimable size are placed at the 4 directions for balancing the greater earth. In the center of Jambudvip stands the most extraordinary divine golden mountain called Meru. Meru is shaped like an inverted cone, and it is the sporting place for the demigods. Around Meru are many supporting mountains called Kesara. Jambudvipa is 0.8 million miles in diameter and is surrounded by the saltwater ocean of the same width. On top of Mount Meru is a resort of Brahma called Manovati. The famous celestial river Ganges descends to the center of Manovati and then flows out into 4 directions. Surrounding Manovati in the 8 directions are the resort cities of the chief demigods. One of these cities is Amaravati, the resort of Indra, king of heaven. King Indra lives here in majestic opulence, attended to by musicians, dancers, and reciters.
So these are some videos corresponding to our discussion. Presentation, extended mode, how to go. Current slide. Yeah. So this is one verse which is very important in Bhagavatam. Prabhupada does not go into detail, but Chakravarti Pad, quoting Vishnu Puran, other Vayu Puran, other scriptures, gives elaborate details about this Bharata Varsha, with which we can connect to our current situation. So that will help us to connect something which is very unimaginable to something which can we can imagine. in our, which you can relate to our practical experience. So the verse goes, so asmin eva varshe purushair labdha jannabhi shukla lohita krishna varnena swarabdena karmana divya manusha naraka gatayo bhavya atmana anupurvyena sarvahi eva sarvesham vidhiyante yata varna vidhanam apavargascha api bhavati. So till now we have seen how the people in other eight varshas, they are living very in the midst of so many opulences. Now this is a description about Bharata Varsha in one verse. The translation goes, in Bharata Varsha, many destinations like humanly, heaven and elish, so are prescribed for all people, because people take birth according to actions in sattva, rajas and tamas. All these destinations are prescribed for the self according to the quality of their actions, as indicated in the Vedas. Liberation is then achieved. So Bhagavad Gita 14th chapter, Lord Krishna explained that if we practice activities in the mode of goodness, we'll go to heaven. The people who are in the mode of passion, they'll take birth as human beings. The people who are in the mode of ignorance, they'll go down to hellish planets, something like that. So in that way, so by our activities, which are called either dharma or adharma, we'll get different kinds of destinations. Sometimes heavenly, sometimes human, sometimes hellish destinations. So all these are based on our activities only. Eventually, one can attain liberation in Bharata Varsha. So this is not mentioned till now in any other places. So Bharata Varsha is a special characteristic that one can attain liberation here. Because this is Karma Bhumi. All other places are meant to be the places of enjoyment of one's own piety. So Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Tagore quotes from different Puranas. So from Vishnu Purana, he quotes that Bharata Varshasya Varshaya Navabedam Nishamaya. So there are 9 divisions in this Bharata Varsha. The Jambudipa itself is divided into 9 parts. The 9th part is Bharata Varsha. The bottommost, southernmost part is Bharata Varsha. Its width is 9,000 yojanas that we discussed about mathematical relations and all. So what are the 9 varshas? The 9 islands, these are called 9 islands of Bharata Varsha, because they are separated by ocean. The ocean is traveling in between, that is why it is divided into 9 parts. Indradvipa, Kaseru, Tamravarna, Babastiman, Saumya, Nagadvipa, Gandharva, Varuna. So thus, there are 8 names are given. The 9th name is not given. Okay? In the Sanskrit text, we see, Ayantu Navamastesham. Among the 9, this is the 9th one. So, what is that? Tesham Dvipa Sagara Samruta. This 9th Dvipa, which is bordering the ocean, which is touching the ocean. That means it's the bottommost one. Because it is 9,000 yojanas, if you divide horizontally into 9 parts, each would be 1,000 yojanas. The bottommost part, that is the 9th part. So the 9th one, what is that? Yojananam sahasrantu dvipo ayam dakshinottarat. From south to north, its width is 1,000 yojanas. When you measure the width of this 9th division, from south to north, it is about 1,000 yojanas. That means whole 9,000, if you divide into 9 parts, each will be 1,000 yojanas. The 9th, about which there is no name mentioned, is described here. So, the 9th bordering the ocean, which is 1,000 yojanas from north to south, known as Bharata Varsha. The whole thing is also called Bharata Varsha. The 9th one is also called Bharata Varsha. So, instead of mentioning its own special name, it is mentioned as Ayam Tu, Ayam Dvipo. The 2 times Ayam came. Ayam Tu and Dvipo Ayam. So, Gauram Prabhu, whenever he gives Ramayana Katha, he says that, Ayam Sita Mama Suta. During the marriage of Lord Ram and Sita, Janaka Maharaj was speaking to Lord Ram. Ayam Sita Mama Suta. So this Sita is my daughter. You don't look here and there. Because Lord Rama was mesmerized by the beauty of Mother Sita. He is looking everywhere. Wherever he sees, Mother Sita is seen. So to stop him looking here and there, Janaka Maharaj is saying that, Ayam Sita, this Sita is my daughter. So just to give connection, I'm telling. So Ayam Dvipa, matlab this Dvipa. So though the whole land is called Bharata Varsha, but the 9th one, because of its special characteristics, it is actually called 9th Bharata Varsha. Because of that, the whole land is also called Bharata Varsha. There are 8 more, but they are of less importance. So the 9th one is Bharata Varsha. Its width is 1,000 yojanas. The whole 9,000 years are called Bharata Varsha. So now, further verses talk about this ninth part only, the ninth dvipa. So that is glorified very much. So Vishnu Purana further says, the ninth island bordering the ocean, this is bordering the ocean, 1,000 yojanas from north to south, Bharata Varsha or Navadvipa or Sudarshan Dvipa. It is spoken with different names in different scriptures. Some say it is Navadvipa, some say Bharata Varsha, some say Sudarshan Dvipa, something like that. And some in the sense, different scriptures. It is limited to only one of these. So, a person, when he takes birth in any of these nine dvipas, he is limited to only one of the dvipa. It cannot go to other dvipa for his life. So one cannot go to other dvipa for his life. He is limited to one dvipa only. So, in the Sanskrit text, it is nicely given. 1919. Yeah, it is here. Tu agamya parasparam. Tu means but. First canto, third chapter, 39th shloka. Krishnastu Bhavata. Tu is very elaborately explained there. So, whatever described previously, the tu is differentiates that. So, but one cannot go from one island to other island. Agamya. Gamya means going. Agamya means cannot go. Parasparam. So, people cannot go from one place to other place for the life. So, that is the distinction about these places. So, that means in the self-same body, one cannot go. If one want to go, he has to change his body, get a new body, which is suitable for that place, and he can go there. That is the understanding. This is called Sagar Samrita at the end of the ocean. So, now, further details. Okay. Some connection to this one from Bhagavatam, which is described till now. So, from chapter 2 to chapter 15. So, Agnidra is explained in second chapter. He married Purochiti, he begot 9 sons. Those 9 sons given the 9 varshas of Jambudvipa. So, the names are also same names, Nabi, Kimpur, Shandal. So, Nabi married Meru Devi and he begot Lord Rishabdev. Okay, this we have studied in chapter 3. Rishabdev, chapter 3 about Nabi, chapter 4 about Rishabdev. So, Rishabdev married Jayanti and he begot 100 sons. So, these 100 sons are actually well qualified. Among the 100, 81 became so perfect Brahmanas and 9 became Navayogendras. And the eldest of all 100, the first one is Bharat Maharaj. So, because of his wonderful qualities, that Dvipa, which was known earlier when Nabi was ruling as Nabi Varsha, when Vrishabdev was ruling, it was known as Ajnabha Varsha. Aja means unborn. Ajnabha means the son of Nabi, who is unborn Supreme Lord. So, then now it has become known as Bharata Varsha. Since then it became known as Bharata Varsha. So, he had 9 brothers left. So, 81 plus 9, 90. He is 91. The 9 more brothers who are elder to all these 90 but younger to the Bharat Maharaj. So, he made them kings of the 9 islands, 9 divisions. We can think about like that. There is not nowhere mentioned like this. It is not directly mentioned. But we can think about like that. So, they have become the rulers of 9 divisions. And Bharat Maharaj remained as the emperor of the whole Bharata Varsha. Not even Bharata Varsha, he is the emperor of whole Bhumandala. So people who are living in Bharata Varsha, they are actually ruling the entire Bhumandala at that time as the emperor. Even for example, in ninth canto, many kings come later on. For example, King Kartavirya Arjuna, Lord Ram, Dhruva Maharaj, Priyavrat Maharaj, Chitraketu Maharaj, all these great, great kings, they are actually monarchs of the entire Bhumandala. Though they are living in Bhumandala, Bharata Varsha, they are ruling whole Bhumandala. So somebody may ask, what about the details about the kings of other places? So because Bharata Varsha has some connection to us. So whatever kings ruling belongs to Bharata Varsha is explained in Bhagavatam. Other places are not directly connected to us, so they are not explained to us. So these 9 people, maybe the rulers of 9 lands, are some places if you read. Kushavarta, Ilavarta, Brahmavarta, Malaya, Ketu, Badrasena, Indraspik, Vidarbha and Kikata. Vidarbha is Vidarbha, Maharashtra only. And Kikata, it comes in first canto, third chapter. Kikata is basically Gaya. Lord Buddha appeared in Kikata area, Kikateshu. And this Brahmavarta, recently Gaurav Darshan was telling that he went to Kanpur. In the Kanpur, there is a place known as Brahmavarta. One place is named as Brahmavarta. And he also seen a place, a temple, which is dedicated to Uttanapad Mahal. So, at least from history we can say that they are ruled from that place, something like that. So, some place have got real resemblance in our current existence also. So, this is how it is.
So next. So this is how the video which we have seen. In that video it is shown like this. The nine dvipas are horizontally divided. These are divided horizontally. They are nine divisions. But at least Sanskrit sloka we can understand that they are actually vertically from north to south. This is the north. This is the northern side of this Jambudvipa. This is southern side. Actually this north south are actually not the true north and true south. In our practical experience, this is what? This is east. Yeah, this is west. Okay, this is south. This is north. So when sun travels, he rises here. He goes here in the noontime. What is this direction called? Upside. We did not give any name. So, but in the descriptions of the Bhagavatam, this direction is considered to be south. The direction opposite to this one, when sun is there during midnight, that is considered to be north. This is like a, so the earth globe is like this, na? The Bhumandala is like this. So on this planar structure, the details are mentioned. This is east, this is west, this is north, this is south. But true north is this side. The poles of the lotus stem is going upward, na? That is actual north. The bottom, Garbhada Koshana, that is south. But sun will be traveling like this horizontally. So when we see from the globe, earth globe, when sun comes in the noontime, sun is here. So this is just above the head of Bharat, India, land India, something like that. So this direction where we see in the noontime, that is actually southern side in this maps. So this the upper side is the southern side. Whatever south is mentioned here, they are actually on the plane they are mentioned. Not the true north and true south. So in that, there are nine divisions are mentioned. So according to Sanskrit sloka, so this is another image. So they are supposed to be like this. According to Sanskrit sloka, they are supposed to be nine divisions like this. The total width of this Bharatavarsha is 9,000 yojanas. When you divide into nine parts, each would be 1,000 yojanas. The bottommost one, this is also called as Bharatavarsha. I am two, I am dvipo. This is the ninth one. This is Bharatavarsha. So this is the ninth division, about which we are discussing now. So the ninth division further described in Vishnu Puranam. So in the east there are Kiratas, in the west there are Yavanas, in the east there are again Kamarupa, Varissa, Kalinga, Magadha, in the south there are Marukas and Malavas, and there are Satya, Treta, Dwapara and Kaliyugas in this ninth division of Bharatavarsha. Okay? Previously we discussed that in the rest of the eight dvipas, rest of the eight varshas, there is only Treta Yuga, because they are living for 10,000 years. But in this dvipa, in this particular division, there are Satyayuga, Tretayuga, Dwaparayuga, Kaliyuga. Time changes. Other places, so this is actually explained in Sanskrit sloka only, which do not exist elsewhere. Yatra na kvachit. The Satya, Treta, Dwapara, Kali divisions do not exist elsewhere. In the rest of the universe, they do not exist. Only here, in this ninth division of Bharatavarsha, this is existing. Remaining eight islands of Bharatavarsha also, not sure. Maybe we can consider them also, because they are also part of whole Bharatavarsha. We can also consider them also. But mainly, basically, this place we are discussing, we'll discuss about this place only. What happens in other places, better. No, don't worry. So, Vayu Purana further says, so there are nine divisions of Bharata. The ninth division borders the ocean, and one cannot go from one place to other place. This is what is mentioned in my... Krishna Chakravarti says that if one cannot accomplish liberation, liberation appears on its own in this Bharatavarsha. This is the special merciful nature of Bharatavarsha. Other places, so one has to endeavor here. There is a facility for people to practice the path of perfection. So merging in Brahman is also achieved. Cha, Prabhupada, Chakravarti mentioned that Brahman also possible. So according to Siddhanta Shiromani, this is a reference from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Within Bharatavarsha, there are nine khandas. They are known as this Aidra and all these things. The ninth one is Kumarika. The name given in Siddhanta Shiromani, its name is Kumarika, the ninth one. Other eight are same as Vishnu Purana. So Markandeya Purana says that karma is not enjoined anywhere else, because this is only karma bhumi. Here only karma is there. Rest all the places are bhoga bhumi. The karma is not there. The ninth island is surrounded by water. It measures 1,000 yojanas from south to north. There are Mlechas and Aryans. These two kinds of people live in this land, but they predominate in certain parts. They don't live together. They live. Some people live here. Aryans live here. Mlechas live somewhere else. Evanas live somewhere else like that. This is called Karma Bhumi. It can bestow everything according to one's punya and papa.
So basically I'm quoting all these references to show that different scriptures are also saying same thing. There is no discrepancy among all the scriptures. So now, glories of Bharatavarsha. Bhagavatam further describes about the glories of Bharatavarsha. Even the demigods say that this place is suitable for service to Mukunda. So they are saying that what pious activities these people performed so that they got the birth here. So if they tell us, we'll also take, we'll perform those pious activities and take birth here, like that the demigods are glorifying. So they say that we should not accept transient residence in heaven if there is no remembrance of the Lord, because there is excessive enjoyment of the senses. There is a lot of enjoyment in the heaven, so they do not focus on remembering Lord's lotus feet much. That is the reason they say. A moment stay in Bharata is much greater than Kalpa and Brahmaloka if there is no glories of Lord Vishnu are spoken constantly. And they further say, people of Bharata directly go to Vaikuntha by the practice of Bhakti Yoga. So one should not accept residence in Brahmaloka if there are no rivers of Lord's feet topics and no devotees and no great festivals of sacrifices and no chanting of Lord's holy names is going on. If they say that if we have any pious credits remaining from performing sacrifices, chanting the Vedas, performing charitable acts, let us take birth in Bharatavarsha so that we can continuously hear Krishna Katha, Krishna Kirtan, and we can go back to Vaikuntha. That is their desire. So now, the depiction of Bharatavarsha. This Bharatavarsha is depicted, is written in a picture form, first by Trivenkata Ramanujayar. He actually depicted this image, taking the information from a shloka in Mahabharata. So the translation of the shloka goes that, a person can see his own face in a mirror, even so is the island called Sudarshana, seen in the lunar disk. Mahabharata calls this ninth division as Sudarshana, Sudarshana Dvipa. So just the way we can see ourselves in the mirror, one can see this Sudarshana Dvipa from moon, considering moon to be a mirror. Two of its parts seem to be a peepal tree leaves, while the other looks like a large hair. When you see yourself in a mirror, you see front portion of your body, and you can also see back side of your body. You may not see yourself, but you can take back portion also like another image. The front, one side looks like peepal tree leaves, set of peepal tree leaves. Other side looks like a large hair rabbit. So the planet named Sudarshana looks spherical, like a man views himself in a mirror, the same way it appears from space. One of its parts looks like a big peepal leaves, and the other looks like a big rabbit. Two parts, no? One looks like a big, same translation, but different people say it differently. One says that if you consider moon to be a mirror, you see, just the way you see yourself in the mirror, you see the Sudarshana Dvipa. Some say that if you go to moon and see the Sudarshana Dvipa, how it look like? This is the translation. Different people translated. The shloka actually given in Mahabharata like this. Sudarshanam pravakshami dvipam tu kurunandana parimandalo maharaja dvipasau chakra samstita. Like that, the shloka goes ahead. So the translation is, this Bharatakanda, they call it as, this is actually translation given by His Holiness Dhanavir Goswami Maharaj in his books. This Bharatakanda, he names it as Bharatakanda, is also called as Sudarshana Dvipa, since it looks beautiful to the eyes of the onlooker. Sudarshana. It looks very beautiful to the eyes. That's why it is called Sudarshana Dvipa. Being circular, it looks like the disc of Lord Sudarshana. The precedentity of this place is Sudarshana. That's why it is called Sudarshana Dvipa. It is attached to the cyclic time in the form of disc presided by the god Sudarshana. Sudarshana disc sometimes also called Kala Chakra. So this is attached, this Sudarshana Dvipa is attached to Kala Chakra. That's why we have Satya, Treta, Dwapara and Kali. So in that way we can understand. So now, so this is Lord Sudarshana. This is Sudarshana Chakra. So Sudarshana Dvipa is in the form of a globe, since all the four corners of this Bharatakanda is round like a bale fruit. You must have seen bale trees here. Many bale trees are there. I will also show you something. You see the bale fruit. Sudarshana Dvipa is compared to be like a bale fruit. So it is a spear. That's what the understanding given by Mahabharata. Okay, this is another such kind of thing. So the name of the Sudarshana Dvipa or Bharatavarsha, the nature, is viewed from the moon. How it look like? Half of this Bharatavarsha appears like the rabbit and a small people live. Sorry, people is there. That spelling mistake. That auto spelling correct. Something happened like that. So one side it looks like a rabbit and a small people live. So other half appears in the form of a big people live. And they are surrounded by all varieties of vegetation. So one side, front side looks like a rabbit and a small leaf. Back side looks like a big leaf. So what happened? Sri Thiruvengada Ramanuja here sketched a drawing of one big rabbit and peepali tree leaves as per about Vedic hymn. When he draw the image, it looked like this. A rabbit, see, there is a big rabbit and a people leaf, one people leaf. There is another set of people leaves. People leaf is Ashwatha tree. In our Lakshmana temple, behind temple, there is Ashwatha tree. That tree leaves, they exactly look like this. So then, the mirror is an image of the above description. You see, this is the same thing. When you tilt it 180 degrees, it looks like this. Do you get some remembrance? Anything have you seen before? So now, they say that projection and scaling of the above description on the world map. So this is what is given, drawn by Sri Thiruvenkata Ramanuja. And if we project this and the globe, how it look like? It is almost similar to our current day world map. So what do we see and what we have studied in our text, school text? So has got some information in Mahabharata itself, which is spoken 5000 years back. So Vedic texts are not giving some hypothetical information. They can actually give realistic information which we can perceive. And they can also give information about those things which we cannot perceive also. So this is planet Earth. It's actually what we have said till now. Sudarshana Dvipa, Kumaraka Dvipa, Bharatakanda, Bharatavarsha is 1/9 part of Bharatavarsha, which is a 9th part of Jambudvipa, which is a 7th part of whole Bhumandala. So whole, actually if you see whole universe internal diameter is about 500 million yojanas. Jambudvipa is 1 lakh yojanas. The bigger Bharatavarsha is 9000 yojanas. The smaller Bharatavarsha is 1000 yojanas. That is what it is. At least we can correlate with modern day understanding of planet Earth. It is also said like a bale fruit spear and all. There is another reference from Surya Siddhanta talking about its spherical nature. It says that as the shape of the earth is spherical, people in each place think themselves to be uppermost. But as the globe of earth is situated in ether, what then is its upper and lower sides? So in a globe, if you take the people who are standing on the upper northern hemisphere, they think they are on the upper side. Those people who are living on the southern side, they also think they are upper side. Because in a globe, they feel they are like this. So everyone is thinking they are on the upper side. This is the reason we can consider that this Bharatavarsha could be a sphere. That's how Surya Siddhanta explains. So now, some correlation to the scientific findings, modern findings. As per the science, the mean diameter of the earth is 12,742 kilometers. The diameter of the equator is 12,756 kilometers. Diameter between the two poles, 12,713 kilometers. This is the scientific findings. So as per Srimad Bhagavatam, the descriptions given by Chakratipat, quoting other various Puranas, the bigger Bharatavarsha is 9,000 yojanas. It was divided into 9 parts. Each part will be 1,000 yojanas. So this 9th part is 1,000 yojanas. When we convert 1 yojana into miles, that is 8 miles each. So 8,000 miles. That when we convert into kilometers, 1 mile equal to 1.609 kilometers, that becomes 12,872 kilometers approximately. This is also not exactly. That is, 8 is given that approximate 8. So 1.609 is given approximate. This is not exact. Sometimes it will be a little bit here and there. So when you compare these two numbers, upper numbers and the below numbers, 12,872 and 12,740s, 50s, 13s, they are almost very close to each other. So the Vedic description and modern findings are matching. Okay. Now, so before going to this verse, thoda sa entertainment.
Srila Prabhupada's desire for the diagram was not to go unfulfilled. That elusive map was discovered by Srila Prabhupada's disciples at the holy village of Melukote, some 50 kilometers north of Mysore, Karnataka, in India. This diagram accurately depicted the entire cosmology of Srimad Bhagavatam in an ingenious yet simple rendering. The person through whom it was revealed to the world was the 19th century scholar saint Tiruvenkata Ramanuja G.R. Swami. Born in Sri Purumbudur, Tamil Nadu, Tiruvenkata Swami went on to become an acharya, or spiritual leader, in the preceptorial line known as the Sri Sampradaya. He spent several years of his life in Melukote, which 900 years earlier had been the residence place of Sripad Ramanujacharya, the most prominent acharya of the Sri Sampradaya. At Melukote, in the thousand-year-old temple, Tiruvenkata Swami studied and taught the Vedas and also worshipped the deity of Tiru Cheluva Narayan. One day, while studying the Mahabharata, a 5,000-year-old epic of ancient India, he came across some intriguing verses. In the fifth chapter of Jambukanda, Bhishma Parva of Mahabharata, it is said,
Sudarshanam pravakshami dvipastu guru nandana parimandalo maharaja dvipoyam chakra samstita yato hi purusha pashye darshanam mukham atmana evam sudarshana dvipo drishyate chandramandale dviramshe pippalastatra dviramshe cha saso mahan sarvaushadhi samavaye sarvatap parivarita.
This Bharat Khanda is called Sudarshana Dvip, since it looks beautiful to the eyes of the onlookers. Being circular, it looks like the disc of the Lord, and it is attached to cyclic time in the form of a disc presided over by Lord Sudarshana. Bharat Khanda is in the form of a globe, since all of its four corners are rounded like the bale fruit. When viewed from the moon, half of Bharat Khanda appears like the rabbit and a small peepal leaf, while the other half appears in the form of a big peepal leaf, with all of them surrounded by varieties of vegetation. Pondering the verses, he became perplexed. What on earth can a rabbit and peepal leaves have to do with geography or cosmography? As he sought to understand their meaning, he contemplated, meditated, and prayed. Finally, by divine inspiration, he sketched a drawing of the rabbit and the peepal leaves, but still remained mystified about their connection with the earth's geography. Suddenly it dawned on him that if the drawing was turned upside down, the rabbit perfectly corresponded with Europe, Asia, and Africa, while the peepal leaves corresponded with North America, South America, and Australia. These continents comprise our earth, which the Mahabharata calls Bharatkhanda. Vishnu Purana also describes the earth as Bharatkhanda and gives its diameter as 8,000 miles. The earth is also referred to by the name Bharatkhanda in the invocation Sankalpa mantra chanted by Brahmana priests since time immemorial up until the present day.
Jambudvipe Bharatavarshe Bharatakhande Meroho
Vedic cosmology gives descriptions of the entire cosmos, including its subtle features. Perception and access to these subtle features, however, requires karmic qualification. Consequently, much of the cosmos described earlier, as well as parts of the cosmography about to be described, are imperceptible and inaccessible to us earthly inhabitants. Bharatkhanda is one of the nine islands of the larger and originally bow-shaped Bharat Varsha, which was divided by the sons of Sagara. Being completely surrounded by water, the islands are mutually unreachable. In the Vedas, Bharatkhanda, our earth, is also referred to by other names such as Sudarshan Dweep, Kumarika Dweep, and Navadweep, etc.
So what we have discussed is also presented through this video, so that you can. And now I'll show you one verse. Kindly tell me where it is. What is the context in which this verse appears in Bhagavatam? Prachina Varsha Thaur. Okay. So Sayekada Yamavato, Dakshineshu Atastanushu, Dadarsha Navabir Dwarbi, Puram Lakshita Lakshanam. So, Puranjana, he wanted to have a township, he wanted to have a home to live. He travelled all over, he could not find any place. But one day, when he came to a place which is on the southern side of the Himalayan mountain, he found, what is this? Dadarsha Navabir Dwarbi. Puram Lakshita Lakshanam. So, desiring objects for attaining enjoyment, he thought that all the houses on earth were not suitable for him. So, because he attained so many other townships, but he could not enjoy satisfactorily. But when he found a house which has got 9 gates in the southern side of the Himalaya, so he found it is suitable for enjoyment and also for attaining liberation. So, this Navabir Dwarbi is Navadwara Pureh Dehi, the body made up of 9 holes, the human body. The human body without any defects in Bharata Varsha, that is in planet Earth, attaining such kind of a birth is suitable for enjoyment and also for liberation. So that is the understanding. This is one connection to this verse, to our description. So he traveled all over the universe, passing through so many living entities, bodies. So he at the end eventually landed in Bharata Varsha and took the form of a human being, which will enable him to practice bhakti and go back home to Godhead. So we have seen in that description, there is Himalaya mountain, beneath that there are eight divisions, the 9th division is Bharata Varsha, planet Earth. So in that way. The Sankalpa Mantra which you are hearing in the video, some reflections from that Sankalpa Mantra. Generally, Sankalpa Mantra is a mantra chanted at the beginning of any auspicious samskara which is performed in any household. So this is just to indicate that such and such person at such and such place at such and such time is undertaking so and so samskara. This is being recorded in the diary of the demigods. So in that way. So this mantra is for February 14th, January 2015. So the next line, Adya Brahmana, from the year of Brahma's birth, Dvitiya Parardhe, in the second half, in his 51st year. So Sri Shveta Varaha Kalpe, in the seventh, in the Shveta Varaha Kalpa. The Brahma's current day is called Shveta Varaha Kalpa. So Vaivashvata Manvantare, in the beginning period of current Manu, Vaivashvata Manu. So till now 6 Manu periods are completed in the Shveta Varaha Kalpa. The 7th Manu period is running. In that, Ashtavimshati Tamai, the 28th Mahayuga is running now. 27 Divayugas are completed.
ಇನ್ ದ 28th ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಕಲಿಯುಗೆ ಸತ್ಯಯುಗ ತ್ರೇತಾಯುಗ ದ್ವಾಪರಯುಗ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ ನಾವು ಕಲಿಯುಗ ಇನ್ ದಟ್ ಕಲಿಯುಗ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಥ್ರೂ ಪ್ರಥಮ ಪಾದ ದ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಪಾರ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಕಲಿಯುಗ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಥ್ರೂ ಸೊ ದೆನ್ ಜಂಬೂದ್ವೀಪೆ ಇನ್ ದ ಜಂಬೂದ್ವೀಪ ದ ಸೆಂಟರ್ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಐಲ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಭೂಮಂಡಲ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇನ್ ಭಾರತ ವರ್ಷ ದ ಸದರ್ನ್ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಟ್ರ್ಯಾಕ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಲ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಜಂಬೂದ್ವೀಪ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಭರತಖಂಡ ದ 9th ಡಿವಿಜನ್ ಆಫ್ ಭಾರತ ವರ್ಷ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಮೇರೋಹೋ ದಕ್ಷಿಣ ಪಾರ್ಶ್ವೆ ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ಡಿವಿಜನ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸೌತರ್ನ್ ಸೈಡ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಮೌಂಟ್ ಮೇರು ಸೊ ಗೋದಾವರಿ ದಕ್ಷಿಣ ತೀರೆ ದೇ ಫರ್ದರ್ ಸೇ ದಟ್ ದ ಬಾಂಬೆ ಬಾಂಬೆ ಇಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸೌತರ್ನ್ ಸೈಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಗೋದಾವರಿ ರಿವರ್ ಜನರಲಿ ದಿಸ್ ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂಸ್ ಫರ್ದರ್ ವಿತ್ ಹೋಲಿ ರಿವರ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಹೋಲಿ ಮೌಂಟೇನ್ಸ್ ಸೊ ವೇರ್ ಎವರ್ ಹೋಲಿ ಮೌಂಟೇನ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ದೇರ್ ರಿವರ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ದೇರ್ ದೇ ಸೇ ದ ಲ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಸೌತ್ ಆಫ್ ಗೋದಾವರಿ ರಿವರ್ ಮಮ ಸ್ವಗೃಹೆ ದೇ ಸೇ ದಟ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮಿಂಗ್ ದೇರ್ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ಸಂಸ್ಕಾರ ಇನ್ ದೇರ್ ಹೋಮ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್ ದೇ ಸೇ ಮಮ ಸ್ವಗೃಹೆ ಸೊ ದೆನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಅಸ್ಮಿನ್ ವರ್ತಮಾನ ವ್ಯವಹಾರಿಕೆ ಇನ್ ದ ಕರೆಂಟ್ ಪೀರಿಯಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಕರೆಂಟ್ ಪೀರಿಯಡ್ ಇನ್ ಪ್ರಥಮ ಪಾದ ಆಫ್ ಕಲಿಯುಗ ಪ್ರಭಾವಾದಿ ಷಷ್ಠಿ ಸಂವತ್ಸರ ನಮ್ಮ ಮಧ್ಯೆ ದ 60 ಲೂನಾರ್ ಇಯರ್ಸ್ ಅಮಂಗ್ ದ 60 ಇಯರ್ಸ್ ದ ದುರ್ಮುಖ ನಾಮ ಸಂವತ್ಸರ ದ ಕರೆಂಟ್ ಇಯರ್ ಇಸ್ ದುರ್ಮುಖ ನಾಮ ಸಂವತ್ಸರ ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಜನವರಿ ಸೊ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದಕ್ಷಿಣಾಯಣೆ ದ ದಕ್ಷಿಣಾಯಣ ಇಟ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಮಂತ್ ಆಫ್ ಜುಲೈ ಇಟ್ ಗೋಸ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ವೇ ಅಪ್ ಟು ಮಕರ ಸಂಕ್ರಾಂತಿ ದ 15 ಜನವರಿ ಆನ್ವರ್ಡ್ ಉತ್ತರಾಯಣ ಬಿಗಿನ್ಸ್ ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಫಾರ್ 14 ಜನವರಿ ಸೊ ದಿಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಸ್ಟಿಲ್ ಇನ್ ದಕ್ಷಿಣಾಯಣ ದಕ್ಷಿಣಾಯನ ಎಂಡ್ಸ್ ಆನ್ ದ 14 ಜನವರಿ ಎಟ್ 7:50 AM ಸೊ ವಿ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಕನ್ಸಿಡರ್ ಡ್ಯೂರಿಂಗ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಮುಹೂರ್ತ ದ ಸ್ಟಿಲ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದಕ್ಷಿಣಾಯನ ದಟ್ಸ್ ವೈ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಹೇಮಂತ ಋತು ಕರೆಂಟ್ ಋತು ಈಸ್ ವಿಂಟರ್ ಸೀಸನ್ ಚಂದ್ರಮಾನೆ ಅಕಾರ್ಡಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಚಂದ್ರಮಾನ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಪುಷ್ಯ ಮಾಸ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಪೌಷ ಮಂತ್ ಸೊ ಅಕಾರ್ಡಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಸೂರ್ಯಮಾನ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಧನುರ್ಮಾಸ ಸೋಲಾರ್ ಮಂತ್ ಇಸ್ ಧನುರ್ಮಾಸ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪಕ್ಷೆ ದಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಡ್ಯೂರಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ಜನವರಿ 14th ಇಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪಕ್ಷ ಡಾರ್ಕ್ ಫೋರ್ಟ್ ನೈಟ್ ಸೊ ದ್ವಿತೀಯ ಶುಭತಿಥೌ ದ ಡೇ ಇಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ದ್ವಿತೀಯ ಸೊ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪಕ್ಷನ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಪೌರ್ಣಮಿ ಪ್ರತಿಪದ ಅನ್ ದ್ವಿತೀಯ ಸೊ ಶನಿವಾಸರೆ ದಟ್ ಡೇ ವಾಸ್ ಸ್ಯಾಟರ್ಡೇ ಆಶ್ಲೇಷ ನಕ್ಷತ್ರ ದಟ್ ಡೇ ದನ್ ಮೂನ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ ಈಸ್ ಆಶ್ಲೇಷ ನಕ್ಷತ್ರ ಅಂಡ್ ಸನ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ ಈಸ್ ಉತ್ತರಾಷಾಢ ನಕ್ಷತ್ರ ಸಮ್ ಡೀಟೇಲ್ಸ್ ಲೇಟರ್ ಆನ್ ವಿಲ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ವೇರಿಯಸ್ ಸ್ಕ್ರಿಪ್ಚರ್ಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಚಾಂಟೆಡ್ ಇನ್ ಅವರ್ ಡೇ ಟು ಡೇ ಪ್ರೇಯರ್ಸ್ ಈವನ್ ಇನ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೌತ್ ಇಂಡಿಯನ್ ಟ್ರೆಡಿಷನಲ್ ಟೆಂಪಲ್ ಎಟ್ ದ ಬಿಗಿನಿಂಗ್ ಡ್ಯೂ ವೈಲ್ ವೇಕಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ದೇ ಚಾಂಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮಂತ್ರ ಎವ್ರಿ ಡೇ ದೇ ಚಾಂಟ್ ಸೊ ಇಂಡಿಕೇಟಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ದಟ್ ಡೇ ದೇರ್ ಅರ್ಚನಾ ವಿತ್ ಈಸ್ ಬಿಗಿನಿಂಗ್ ಸೊ ಇಂಡಿಕೇಟ್ ದಟ್ ದೇ ಚಾಂಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಸೊ ಟಿಲ್ ನೌ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಸೀನ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಜಂಬೂದ್ವೀಪ 7-9 ಡಿವಿಜನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಜಂಬೂದ್ವೀಪ ಅಂಡ್ ಲೇಟರ್ ಆನ್ ವಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ 9 ಡಿವಿಜನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಭಾರತ ವರ್ಷ ಸಮ್ ಡೀಟೇಲ್ಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಆಲ್ ದೋಸ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಪ್ಲೇಸಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಮೆನ್ಷನ್ ಇನ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಸೀನ್ 19 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ತಕ್ಕ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ ಹೋಗಿ ಅಬಿ 20th ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರಿಪ್ಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಅದರ್ 6 ಐಲ್ಯಾಂಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಭೂಮಂಡಲ ವಿತ್ ದೇರ್ ಮೌಂಟೇನ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ರಿವರ್ಸ್ ಸೊ ಗೌರಂಗ ದರ್ಶನ್ ಬಿಸಡ್ ಈ ಕವರ್ಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ 20th ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಬಟ್ ಇನ್ ವಿಲ್ ಗೋ ಹೆಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಸೀನ್ ಡ್ಯೂರಿಂಗ್ ಪ್ರಿವ್ರತ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ ಹಿ ಡಿವೈಡೆಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಒನ್ ಭೂಮಂಡಲ ಇನ್ ಟು 7 ಪಾರ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಓಕೆ 1 ಮಿನಿಟ್ ಆರ್ 1 ಅವರ್ ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಥ್ರೂ ನೌ ಸೊ ವಿಲ್ ನಾಟ್ ಗೋ ಥ್ರೂ ವರ್ಸ್ ಬೈ ವರ್ಸ್ ಬಟ್ ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಇನ್ಫಾರ್ಮೇಶನ್ ಇಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಇನ್ ದ ವರ್ಸಸ್ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸ್ಲೈಡ್ಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಗೋ ಹೆಡ್ ಸೊ ಬೇಸಿಕಲಿ ದ ನೇಮ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ದೇರ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಆಲ್ ದ ನೇಮ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ದೇರ್ ಅದರ್ ದನ್ ನೇಮ್ಸ್ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನ್ ಇನ್ ದೇರ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸ್ಲೈಡ್ಸ್ ಸೊ ದ ಕ್ಯಾರೆಕ್ಟರಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ದೋ 6 ದ್ವೀಪ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲನೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ನಂಬರ್ 1, 2 and 6 ಸೊ we have discussed among the 7 dvipas 1 dvipa now we are going to discuss about rest of the 6 dvipas the first 5 dvipas are divided into 7 varshas they are divided into 7 varshas and the last dvipa is divided into 2 varshas and the respective kings they named these varshas with the names of their own sons so that there will not be any conflict and these are divided into 7 varshas by 7 boundary mountains because Varsha is the land between 2 mountains so just like Jambudvipa there are 8 mountains dividing into 9 parts these are 7 mountains dividing them into 7 Varshas and from these 7 auspicious mountains there arises 7 auspicious rivers from every mountain one river comes just like in India also we see Ganga Yamuna Brahmaputra Sindhu all these come from Himalayas and Krishna Godavari come from Western Ghats like that mountain is the giving birth to rivers so in that way so and then the people who are living their houses are beautifully decorated hermitages and there are enormous lakes with flowers and birds and they by touching and bathing in these lakes and rivers they are all beautified immediately
there are four kinds of people live in these all different like set of lands. In our place, we have four kinds of people: Brahmana, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Shudra. The people who are living in the rest of the place also are similar people, but names are different. They are not called Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. They are called with different names, but their occupations are almost similar. That's what Parapats are explaining. So now further, they worship the Lord in his different forms. Just like in Jambudvipa, they are worshipping Lord in different forms. Here also they are worshipping Lord in his different forms. So for example, like sun, moon, Agni, etc. They are worshipping Lord in these forms. These people live for 1,000 and more years. There in Jambudvipa, 10,000 years it is said. Here they are said that some 1,000 years, some more than 1,000 years. It's like that. Their bodies are as beautiful as the devatas, the demigods. They produce offsprings as the devatas do. Like they live for 1,000 years in sense. They live for 9,999 years. In the last year they produce children. So in that way. They are naturally endowed with manifested facilities. They are actually, as soon as they are born, they have natural siddhis endowed with them. They are like all born siddhas. They are siddha purushas, something like that. Srila Prabhupada again says in the Parapat that these people, though are born with so many facilities and all the strength and all these things, they never forget themselves as the servants of Supreme Lord. But if we get, we'll forget. This is the connection he is giving. So now, the overview of Jambudvipa. So we had a Jambu tree in Jambudvipa, because of which that land gets the name as Jambudvipa. There are 9 varshas and 9 mountains along with Sumeru. The Bharata Varsha is the field of fruitive activities. Other 8 varshas are the heavenly place on earth. There are 4 castes of people are living in these places: Brahmana, Kshatriyas, Vaishya, Shudra, something like that. They live for 1,000 years in other 8 varshas. And in Bharata Varsha, they live according to the age: Satya, Treta, Dwapara, Kali. And by performing bhakti, they attain Vaikuntha. This is what demigods glorified about Bharata Varsha. They surrounded by an ocean called salt water ocean. Jambudvipa is surrounded by salt water ocean. Surrounding the salt water ocean is Plakshadvipa. Surrounding this salt water ocean is Plakshadvipa, second dvipa. So because of the presence of a Plaksha tree, this dvipa gets Plakshadvipa. This tree shines like gold. And this is also as tall as Jambudvipa. 100 yojanas in width and height is 1,100 yojanas. At its roots, there is a fire with 7 flames. These flames give light to that place, something like that. This land, this Plakshadvipa has got 7 varshas, 7 mountains and 7 rivers. This is the similarity actually comes in all the next 6 dvipas. There are 4 kinds of people are living in this place. They live for 1,000 years and more. By performing Vedic rituals, they worship the Supreme Lord in the form of sun god. This particular Plakshadvipa is surrounded by a notion of sugar cane juice. So just chapter 20. So this is verse number 12. So not 12. It's before only. Yeah. They worship the Supreme Lord in the form of sun, representing the Vedas, the gate to Swarga, by the path of karma. By practicing the karma yoga, they worship the Supreme Lord who expanded himself as sun god. So they say, we surrender to the Surya, who is a form of Vishnu, the oldest person, who is the presiding deity of executed dharma. He is the presiding deity of knowledge about dharma, and he is the presiding deity of the Vedas, and he is auspicious, he is the result of auspicious and inauspicious acts. So this is how they glorify the Supreme Lord as in the form of sun. And this Plakshadvipa is surrounded by an ocean of sugar cane juice. The oceans created by Prihvata Maharaj are filled with different kinds of waters. They have different properties. Just the ocean we experience as the property of salt, this ocean has got the property of sugar cane juice. So this is called Salmala Dvipa because of the presence of a Salmala tree. There is a Salmala tree in this area. So its width and height are same as Jambu tree. And this tree is considered to be the residence of Garuda. Whenever Garuda visits this place, he lands on this tree. Because Garuda is a gigantic bird, he need a gigantic tree to land upon. So this also has got 7 varshas, 7 mountains, 7 rivers and 4 kinds of people. And they live more than 1,000 years. By following Varnashrama Dharma, they worship the moon god. So it is said that they all worship Soma, the moon god, an expansion of the Lord, personified as the Vedas. This is 12th verse. They say, may the moon, king of all the citizens and of us, all of us, who divides food for the Pitrus and Devatas according to the waning and waxing phases, by his rays, be favorable to us. So they glorify the moon god as the provider of nectar to all living entities. So it is described in other places. From Pratipad all the way up to Purnami, the sun evaporates the water from various places on Bhumandala. So all the water directly goes to moon. The moon takes out the essence of all the waters and transforms that essence into nectar. And the remaining water will come back to the clouds. The water will be stored in the clouds. Later on it falls down like a rain. The nectar which is stored in moon planet, it transforms into Somarasa. This happens from Pratipad all the way up to Purnami. That's how they connect it to the moon's glow is increasing every day. And the Pratipad, it is a very small arc. Every day is gradually increasing. On full moon day, it is full. So the full moon is filled with nectar by the time of Purnami. On the Purnami day, all the demigods assemble on moon planet. They begin to drink this nectar because nectar is their food. So they drink this nectar for 14 days from Pratipad all the way up to Chaturdashi. So on the whatever remaining nectar is there on the moon planet, that is accepted by all the Pitrus on the 15th day. That is called Amavasya. Okay? The nectar is formed for 15 days. 14 days it is accepted by demigods. Because nectar is accepted by the demigods, the every day the moon is reducing. The full moon is becoming small, 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 small. On the 15th day, whatever is remaining small portion, that is accepted by Pitrus. So that's why it is said that whenever people on the earth planet, they perform Shraddha ceremony to their forefathers, they are said to be performing that Shraddha ceremony on Amavasya day. That is actually recommended. Because that day, the whatever oblations we offer, they will go to moon and they will be given to Pitrus. So that day, in that way. And this particular Salmala Dvipa is surrounded by an ocean of liquor. This is called Surasagara. So this Surasagara is surrounded by Kushadvipa. So this land gets its name because of the presence of Kusha grass, which is there in that land. By Lord's will, this Kusha grass emits mild and pleasing flames. So because of which they get light on that whole area. Of course they get sunlight also, but this is explained here. So they illuminate all directions by their glow of tender shoots. This illumination is very mild. Prabhupada connects this to moonlight. Throughout the day we experience scorching sunlight, but in the night we experience cooling, soothing moonlight. Similarly, here the people on this land, they experience tender, pleasing flames produced from this Kusha grass. So Prabhupada says that, how can they say that there are no living entities on the moon planet, sun planet? So actually the moon is emitting tender shoots. That is good for us. So people can live there also. You cannot say they cannot live there. Like that Prabhupada writes in Parpat. So there are seven varshas, seven mountains, seven rivers, four kinds of people. This is same. These people are expert in Vedic sacrifices. So by the performance of Vedic sacrifices, they worship the Supreme Lord in the form of Agni. So they say, oh fire, you are directly the carrier of offerings for the Supreme Lord. So whenever we perform Agni, we say that Idam Indraya Swaha Idam Namama. So it is offered into the Agni. So Agni is accepting. So many places in the Bhagavatam it said that Lord accepts offerings through the Agni. Agni is the mouth of the Supreme Lord in his Virat Rupa. So it is like mouth. Through mouth only we eat. Like that Lord eats all the offerings through fire. That is Agni. So they are telling that, oh fire, you are directly the carrier of offerings for the Supreme Lord. Please worship the Supreme Lord by our offerings to the demigods. So whatever offerings we are offered in the fire, saying that Idam Indraya Swaha Idam Namama Idam Varunaya Swaha Idam Namama, take all the offerings which are offered to the demigods and give them to the Supreme Lord. So that's how they are telling. Who are actually the limbs of the Supreme Lord? All these demigods are different limbs of the Supreme Lord. So we also hear
in the fourth canto, last chapter, Yata Taror Mula Nishesane na Trupendi Taskanda Bujabashaka, like that, whatever is after different limbs, eventually goes to the Supreme Lord. So indirectly Narada Muni said that if you worship the Supreme Lord, it is worship of everyone. So in that way, they are telling the same thing, whatever is offered in the name of demigods, who are actually the limbs of the Supreme Lord, take that oblations and offer it to Supreme Lord directly. That's how they are worshipping the Supreme Lord. And surrounding this Kushadvipa, there is a ocean of liquid ghee. Liquid ghee. So surrounding this liquid ghee, there is a dvipa called Krauncha Dvipa. This dvipa gets its name because of Krauncha mountain. So there is something is fearless from the weapons of Kartikeya. Some past time connected to this. So this mountain is surrounded by milk ocean. And this land is protected by Varunadev. This whole land, once it was attacked by Kartikeya. Actually one demon named Krauncha. Once Agastya Muni was traveling in this land along with his wife. So Krauncha bound Agastya Muni in the darkness. Okay? So when he bound Agastya Muni in darkness, Agastya Muni spelled a curse. You are acting like a dull mountain. So better you become mountain. So by the curse, that Krauncha demon, he became a mountain. Krauncha mountain. So then he begged forgiveness and asked for remedy. Then he said that in the future, Kartikeya will come and attack you on your mountain. So by the attack of him, you will get liberated and you will get your form. So later on, this is another pastime. So Kartikeya comes and attacks some demons hid in this mountain. So when Kartikeya attacked, this demon got released. So but when Kartikeya attacked, all the living entities living in that whole area, they also got disturbed. They immediately prayed to Varunadev. Varunadev offered them shelter. So since then they began to worship Lord Varunadev. So that is some pastime. So then this land also has got seven varsha, seven mountains, seven rivers, four people. They worship the Lord by offering farm full of water at Varuna's lotus feet. Varuna is the ocean god. We can worship ocean only by offering water. When we go to Mayapur, we take Ganges water and offer it back to Ganges. That is a simple way of worshipping. So they say, oh water, your abilities have been given to you by the Lord. What are the abilities of Varuna? Purification. Just like Ganga is called Triloka Pavani, water, it purifies, its nature is purifying. So they say that your abilities for purifying have been given to you by the Lord. You are the purifier of the three worlds. Purify the bodies of us. So we are touching your water, we are bathing in you, so kindly purify us. You are the purifier of three worlds, kindly purify us. So you are the destroyer of the sins by your presence. Just by touching you, we get purified. So kindly purify us. Like that they are praying. So surrounding this Krauncha Dvipa is an ocean of milk. So surrounding this ocean of milk is Shaka Dvipa. This Dvipa gets its name because of the presence of a Shaka tree in that land. There are seven varsha, seven mountains, seven rivers, four people. By the practice of mystic yoga, they worship the Lord in trance, in Samadhi, by meditating on Vayu. They meditate on Supreme Lord by controlling their breath, that is pranayam. They say that may the antaryami, this antaryami referring to the prana which is inside the heart, the Supreme Lord who enters within and directly maintains the living beings by the functions of the pranas, under whose control the universe is created, please protect us. So they are praying to prana that by your presence the whole universe is created and maintained, the same way you protect us. So this is their prayer to Supreme Lord, who is expanded in the form of prana. And this Shaka Dvipa is further surrounded by an ocean of yogurt. That yogurt ocean is surrounded by Pushkar Dvipa, the seventh and the last Dvipa. So in this Dvipa, there is a lotus flower with 100 million pure golden petals. It is as effulgent as the flames of fire. So this lotus flower is considered to be the sitting place of Lord Brahma. That's why this land gets the name of Pushkar Dvipa. In whole India, if we see, there is only one place where Lord Brahma's deity is worshipped. That is Pushkar. So this is the connection to Pushkar and Pushkar Dvipa. So in this land, instead of seven varsha, there are only two varshas. Instead of seven mountain, there are only one mountain. One mountain divides this circular Dvipa into two places. There are four castes of people are living in this place. They worship Lord Brahma by performing ritualistic ceremonies. So they pray that I offer to the Supreme Lord
whom people with the idea of servant and the object of service worship as Brahma, who is attained by karma, who is fixed in devotion to the Supreme Lord, who is non-different from the Lord, who is peaceful, and by whom the Vedas are known. So in the beginning, Brahmaji only created the Vedas. He created all the living entities. And he is as good as Supreme Lord, because he is a Gunavatara of the Supreme Lord. And Brahmaji is attained by karma. It is explained in Rudra Gita. If one who lives by practicing Dharma very strictly, like that for 100 lifetimes, he can become Brahma. And by such practice, more than 100 times, he can go to Shiva Loka. Like that, Lord Shiva speaks to Prachetas. That is explained in Rudra Gita chapter. And this 6th, 7th Dvipa is surrounded by a notion known as sweet drinking water. So this is how Bhagavatam describes the 7 Dvipas and its divisions. The 7th Dvipa has got only one mountain. That mountain is known as Manasuttara mountain. Some special details about this mountain. This is situated in the middle of Pushkara Dvipa. And the mountain's breadth and height are 10,000 yojanas. Its width as well as the height is 10,000 yojanas. And the location at which this mountain is situated, it is a circular mountain. So its radius is 15.75 million yojanas from the center of Meru. From the center, the radius of this mountain is 15.75 million yojanas. On top of this mountain, on four directions, there are four residential places of four Lokapalas. In the east, there is the residential place of Indra. In the west, Varuna. In the south, Yamaraj. In the north, Soma. So residential places, quarters of Indra, Yama, Varuna and Soma. The sun god travels in his chariot above this mountain. Just above this mountain, sun is traveling in his chariot. We have seen in the first chapter that sun is moving in a circular fashion. That movement is above this mountain. That is how it is explained here. So encircling Mount Sumeru, it travels. This is called, in an orbit called Samvatsara. That is how he is traveling. This is a summary of all those things which we have discussed till now. The Jambudvipa is surrounded by saltwater ocean. So it is ruled by Agnitar. Later on he gave it to 9 sons. The 9 deities are worshipped in 9 varshas. And there is a Jambu tree, the special significance here. Like that all the places are given. So these are some dimensions. The radius of Jambudvipa is 50,000 yojanas. The width of saltwater ocean is 100,000 yojanas. The total outer radius of this first section is 0.15 million yojanas. Like that, if you proceed, the last Pushkara Dvipa, the total radius is 25.35 million yojanas. And Manasuttara mountain is at 15.75 million yojanas. In the middle of this 7th Dvipa. So basically we have put these calculations just to compare how things are there. The whole diameter of the Bhumandala is 500 million yojanas. Radius is 250. And the 7th Dvipa itself is 25, which is as good as 1/10. Okay? So in addition to this, there are some more places. We'll describe about them also. So in this, the Jambudvipa is 0.1. 25 to 0.1 is again 250th part. So in that 0.1 also, Bharata Varsha, the planet Earth, is again 1000 yojanas. So 1000 to 500 million. What is the ratio? 1000 to 1 million. Sorry, 500 million. So it is very 10 to the power of 5, 4, 5, something like that. That is the insignificance of planet Earth. In that insignificant planet Earth, we are living in small portion of Mumbai here. And so we have to understand what is our insignificant portion. This entire universe is also coming out of a skin pore of the Supreme Lord. So then how big Lord must be? So that is the understanding. So this is the image. Ah, yes, Prabhu. ₹1 lakh is the diameter, radius is 50,000. Diameter is 1 lakh, the radius is 50,000. We are calculating everything in terms of radius, one side. That is only width, the width. So for example, here if you see, radius means from here to the outer end. So this is a circular dvipa, only we can mention width. Width in this direction is also so and so, the same in the other direction also so and so. So we are trying to calculate only radius. So we are taking width only. So that is how it is. So the 7th Dvipa, Pushkara Dvipa. This has got in its middle the Manasuttara mountain. Yeah, is it clear now? how the Manasutra mountain is located in the middle of Pushkara Dvipa? Yeah, wait. Abhi to divide nahi hua. Abhi mountain aa gaya. So it became two parts. Okay. Yeah, inner and outer side of the mountain. Ah, yes, Prabhu. I will wait. Just 1 second. Give me 1 second. So, abhi dekho. These are the seven mountains. They are dividing one circular dvipa into seven parts. The land is in between two subsequent mountains. That's why it is called Varsha. Yes? So, the seventh one, there is a lotus feet, a lotus leaf, a lotus flower, which is the residence of Brahmaji. In the sixth one, there is Shaka tree. In the fifth one, there is Crouncha mountain. Okay. In the seventh one, there are two rivers, because there are only two tracts of land, inside and outside. In the middle one, there is, from each mountain, one river is coming. So, it is clear. Whatever is described till now, it is showing. So, thought a zoomed version, inside, there is Shaka tree. There is Crouncha mountain. There is Kusha grass. Yeah, Salmon tree, which is very small. You can see there. So then there are rivers coming out of each mountain. Again, thoda zoom. So Salmon tree and Pushka, Plaksha tree and Jambu tree and the rivers coming out of all the mountains. So this is what is described in Bhagavatam. We are trying to present in terms of pictures so that we can easily understand. So this is the same figure, something like that. So after this seventh ocean, Shuddhodaka ocean, there is a land which is called as golden land. Till what time we can go, Pruji? Huh? 1:15, somebody said. 10:15 to 1:15. So still we have some time. No, if you are really getting bored, we'll stop. Otherwise we'll continue few slides and we'll stop. Ah, yeah, yeah. Few more slides are there. We'll complete this presentation and stuff. So there is gold land. Okay? Surrounding the seventh ocean, there is gold land. So this is a tract of land beyond the ocean of sweet water. Its width is equal to the radius of Manasutra mountain. That is 15.75 million yojanas. So just we are trying to calculate the diameter of the Bhumandala in terms of the divisions. That's why we have put all the numbers. Just to give you an idea how each thing is situated. It is a land of gold with mirror-like surface. Any object, if it dropped there, it becomes invisible. That's why people dislocated that place. Nobody lives in that area. Because they can't see anything. Then what is the point of living there? But other scriptures explain that there are some demigods, they come and live there sometimes. But other people cannot go and live there. Higher demigods can come. So surrounding this golden land, there is Loka mountain. So this divides countries that are full of sunlight from those that are not lit by the sun. So following this golden land, there is Loka mountain. This is a circular mountain. This distinguishes the area which is bright by sunlight, which is dark without sunlight. That's why the people who are living inside the mountain, that entire thing is called Loka Varsha. So outside land, people cannot live. That's why it is called Aloka Varsha. This mountain is acting like a boundary between the two areas. That's why it is called Loka Aloka mountain. So its radius is equal to the 1/4 of the universal diameter. The far end of this mountain is 1/4 of the universal diameter. That is 123.3 million yojanas. So it is created by the Lord in all eight directions. This mountain is created by the Supreme Lord in all eight directions. Matlab, east, west, north, south, ishanya, agneya, nairuti and vayu, like that. It extends in height all the way up to the three worlds. It is starting at Bhumandala. It is going all the way up to Dhruva Loka in height. So this is like biggest mountain compared to all other mountains. The rays of the sun, moon and all other planets and stars is limited within this mountain area only. It does not go outside of this mountain. So this is spread throughout the three worlds. So this mountain does not allow sunlight to go outside of this area. So this Loka mountain, on top of this Loka mountain, there are four elephants are placed in four directions so that they can balance this Bhumandala. They are known as Pushkara Chuda, Rishabha, Vamana and Aparajita. These are established by Lord Brahma because they need to balance the Bhumandala so that Bhumandala will not tilt here and there. That is the reason. The Supreme Lord also resides on top of this Loka mountain to maintain this all planetary system. Because he created them, so he has to maintain them. So he lives there personally, giving strength to elephants and all the demigods. He maintains the entire universe. The land outside this mountain is called Aloka Varsha. This is a tract of land outside the Loka mountain range. It is called Aloka Varsha. It is full of darkness. That is the reason why it is not inhabitable. Because there is no sunlight in that area, so it is full dark. Narayana, that is Chaturbhuja form, that is explained in Bhagavatam 20th chapter. He stays in like a Narayana. Just for the sake of maintaining all the things that he created by his material energy. So the breadth, the width of this Aloka Varsha is equal to the radius of the far edge of Loka mountain. The radius of the far edge of Loka mountain is said to be 1/4 of the diameter of the universe. That is close to 125. That is 123.3. This is the width of this Aloka Varsha. So this is 123.3 million yojanas. So thus the outer radius of this Aloka Varsha is 246.6 million yojanas. So this is very close to 250. Thus the total diameter of the Bhumandala is 493.2 million yojanas. Two times to the radius. So then the universe's inner diameter is said to be 500 million yojanas. Panchat Koti, Chaitanya Charitamrita, many places it comes. But the diameter of the Bhumandala is 493. So there is a difference of some 6.8, something like that. So this is called free space. So Chakravartipa says that. So this free space is 3.4 million yojanas all around. This is like a circular free space. So because of this free space, what happens? The Lord Shesha holds up the Bhumandala. Lord Ananta Shesh, who is situated beneath this Bhumandala, he holds up the earth, a planet Bhumandala. If the Bhumandala is spread across the diameter in a circle, if you see in the front view, the diameter is the longest distance. Anything which is of that size of the diameter, it cannot go down. If it is less only, it can go down. Because just beneath this Bhumandala is Garbhuta Koshan. We have seen the very first image, lotus leaf. So this Bhumandala is little less than the whole diameter of the universe. So it can fall down. So to protect it from falling down to the ocean of Garbhodaka, Lord Shesha holds it on his woods. This is explained in 25th chapter. Ananta Shesha is actually holding the entire Bhumandala. And directional elephants steady the Bhumandala. The four elephants on the top of the mountain, they are actually steadying. Because Lord Shesha is holding from the middle, it can bend like this. So four elephants and four directions, they are actually balancing it. And now and then, whenever this whole Bhumandala falls into Garbhodaka ocean, Lord appears as Varahadev and lifts this Bhumandala and puts it in its own position. This is explained in 3rd canto, 13th chapter. Lord Varaha appeared in two times, during Swayambhu Manvantara, at the beginning when Swayambhu Manu was created, and also in Chakshusha Manvantara, when Lord killed Hiranyaksha. At both the times, Lord Varaha lifted this Bhumandala and put it in its own place. So these are the three references Chakravartipada gives for the free space. So now we see in the image form, this is the whole universal shell, the golden line is the universal shell. The small empty area then, that is the free space. And this is, okay, now we'll get the details. This is the universal shell. This is the seven dvipas and seven oceans. This is golden land. This is Loka mountain, the rocky area. This is Aloka Varsha. Okay? And this is the free space. You see small free space. This is how the entire Bhumandala is described till now. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, we'll get the table also. Now, the seventh ocean, the outer diameter of the seventh ocean is 25.35 million yojanas. We said that 250, 10th, 1/10th is 25, like 1/10th portion. And golden land is another 15.75. Both put together, it becomes 41.1. The radius of the far edge of this golden land is 41.1. This is entire thing is called Loka Varsha, where people can live, all this entire area. And then Loka mountain width is twice to this, two times to this. This is 82.2. So 41.1 plus 82.2, it is equal to 123.3. That's how it is said, the far end of Loka mountain is equal to the 1/4 of the diameter of the universe. So 123.3 is almost very close to 125. So this is 41, this is 82.2, and this is equal to the second other half of the other half, that is 123.3. It is as good as the internal area. So this entire thing is 123. From year to year it is 123. This is again 123. So total becomes 246.6. So remaining is 3.4. That is, so that is this free space. That is 3.4. Thus, it fills, it satisfies 250 milliliojanas of internal radius. Diameter is 500. That is how it is. Aloka. Yeah, normal beings cannot stay, but higher demigods can come and stay. They sometimes come and stay there. This is explained in Vaipuran. Who comes there and what they do, all these things are explained. Yeah, because the ocean is just below the Garbhoda ocean, just below this only. Just below this. In a circle, Bhumandala is almost at the diameter area. Just below that, how much it will be? It is also 500 only. It will not reduce so much. So in that way, it just falls into the Garbhoda ocean. Yeah, the understanding given in Bhugola Varnanam, when you drop a block of mud in the water, what will happen? That is right. Mud will melt. When it absorbs water, it will melt. When Bhumandala falls in the ocean, it will melt. Then how it can become solid again? So they explain the pastime that when Lord Hayagriva appeared to protect the Vedas from Madhu and Kaitaba, he killed both the demons, Madhu and Kaitaba. Some place it is said that Lord Matsya killed them. But whoever killed, so after killing Madhu and Kaitaba, so mixing the flesh of the Madhu and Kaitaba along with this, what is this, melted Bhumandala, Lord made it strong. This is the description given in Bhugola Varnanam. don't say why it is like that. So basically Lord made it solid by mixing the flesh of the Madhu and Kaitaba demons at the beginning of Brahma's day. That's why this became solid. Prabhuji, once it happened, every time it may happen, may not happen. Once it happened, the pastime is there in the scriptures, so they are mentioning that. So these are the seven dvipas and seven ocean, golden land, loka loka mountain, aloka varsha. Okay. So some image, how loka loka mountain is situated, just to give you understanding. So this is the Loka Loka mountain, whose width is the width of that Loka Loka mountain. Height is almost goes all the way up to Dhruva Loka. And the four elephants and four directions are studying this. Tentatively, it is 3.9 million yojanas. 3.9 million yojanas. Dhruva Loka height is 3.9 million yojanas. Something like that. So this is the inside area, you see, the bright white light. Because the sunlight and light of the moon and all the stars, that is bright. Outside it is dark. I did not show it is dark, but we can consider it is dark. So recently we were reading in Bhagavatam in Chaupati. Lord Krishna took Arjuna to retrieve the sons of Brahmana in this horizontal line. From planet Earth, Jambudvipa, and then other six dvipa, seven dvipa, and then when he came to Loka Loka mountain, it became dark. The horses are feeling disturbed, where to go and all. Lord released the Sudarshan Chakra that made a tunnel in this mountain. And through the tunnel they went out. Outside is darkness. Aloka Varsha is full darkness. Again the Sudarshan Chakra gave light to the horses. And they passed through this. Then they crossed all the seven layers. Then they entered into Brahma Jyoti. And then they met Karnadakshaya Vishnu. And they retrieved the sons of Brahmana and they came back. So this is the Prabhupada mentions in the translation. This is the connection. So this is good. So this is what we can see in the, like, when you remove the solid object, that boundary of the mountains. Like this. So now, after this free space, there are seven universal coverings. So some say there are seven universal coverings. These are made up of water, fire, air, ether, false ego, and mahatattva. Each layer is 10 times wider than the previous one. So Bhugola Varnanam explains that the Bhumandala is of a width of 500 million yojanas. The earth layer, the first earth layer, it is supposed to be 10 times, na? It is not 10 times. It is actually 1000. It is two times only. The width is 2000. Two times. Only 1000. Because entire thing in the inside also, everything two times, increasing. Na? Like that is also two times. So 500 into 2, it becomes 1000. And the next layer is 10,000. Next layer is 100,000. Like that 10, 10, 10 increases. The 7 layers increases to 13. So if you calculate, you will get whole diameter of the entire universe along with the layers. So after this layers comes the destination of pure souls, the liberated beings who enter into the Brahma Jyoti. That is Brahma Jyoti. So beyond Aloka Varsha and after the universal shell, the pure destination of the aspirers of the liberation appears. This is the area beyond the jurisdiction of three modes. This is completely pure. Lord Krishna took Arjuna and traveled to this area and then goes to Karmadakshaya Vishnu. This is the whole description. So this is the dimension. Golden land is, width is this much. Outer radius is 41. Loka Loka is 123. Width is 82. Aloka Varsha width is 123 and outer diameter is 246. The free space is 3.4. The 250 it becomes. Universal coverings, dimensions I did not mention. The destination of pure souls is 250 plus universal covering. After that, you can see Brahma Jyoti. So this is the whole universe and along with Bhumandala, the image of that whole universe. Sorry, layers are not there. Okay, is this clear? This is what we have seen in the beginning. Now details are mentioned till now. So with the details, we are clear of that thing. That is what we have shown in the very first. Na? The stem is there. Stem is like all 14 planet system. Okay, how they are situated? Na? They are manifested from the stem. So, Prabhuji, that's what I requested at the beginning only. Don't analyze. Technical details, you do research on your own. I don't know. I can explain you locations where they are. That much only I can do. Why they are there, I cannot tell you. I don't have that much understanding. Yeah, that vertical structure, tomorrow we'll discuss about them, where they are located. That will come tomorrow. Today only, Bhumandala. So now, maybe last two slides, one or two slides. This is again, this is how that 3D image. The overall complete information from Jambudvipa all the way up to Brahma Jyoti. Yeah, this is the image made by one of your previous Vidyapeeth students. This is Jambudvipa. Salt water ocean. Okay, it is very slow. Go. Yeah, like one by one, they are coming. You are able to read the text? Emulsified yogurt. This is Pushkaradvipa. So in the middle of Pushkaradvipa, there is Manasuttara Mountain. So there is Manasuttara Mountain in the middle of Pushkaradvipa. And on top of this mountain, there are four cities of four demigods. So four demigods are there, na? Indra, Varuna, Vayu and Yama. And this is also said to be the orbit of sun. Sun is moving above this. And after this, there is golden land. And there is Chuddodaka Ocean. Then golden land. Then Loka Loka Mountain. Then Aloka Varsha, which is dark. Come. It is not directly mentioned in Bhagavatam anywhere, Pruji. Nowhere it is mentioned. According to science, it is 108 times the diameter of the earth. That is 108,000 yojanas, we can say. Or in terms of kilometer, yeah, 1 lakh yojanas. That is the diameter of sun. Bhagavatam not mentioned. Nowhere mentioned. I did not read. So this is the covering of the universe. So this is how the whole universe is described. Okay. In summary, what we have seen today is the Bhumandala with all its divisions. This is according to scale. The thin line outside, that is the universal shell, the beginning of universal shell. This is the end of Bhumandala. This is all Aloka Varsha. This is Loka Loka Mountain. This entire thing is Loka Varsha. In this outer circle is golden land. This circle represents this boundary of seven dvipas and seven oceans. This is expanded here. This is the seventh ocean, seventh dvipa, the Manasuttara Mountain. Sixth, like that, the centralmost circle again, if you expand. This green one is salt water ocean. The innermost circle, this is Jambudvipa. Okay. So these are how mountains are situated in that area. And this is the details about Jambudvipa. We have seen Jambudvipa divided into 9 parts, 9 varshas, and with 9 mountains. And this is some details about Ilavrata Varsha also we have seen. And Bharata Varsha is further divided into 9 parts. As part of this, we also discussed about Mount Meru. On top of Mount Meru, 8 demigods have their cities. And Brahmaji also has his city. And now Ganges descends all over Jambudvipa. It travels. These are the few details which are described till now. So this is a presentation from Vidyapeeth. Previous students.